نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله والي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحتي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no partners, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
You are now listening to The True Light with Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi in a live question and answer session.
Excuse me. Last week I was here and we were talking about the Canaanite woman and how she was asking Jesus to heal her daughter because she was taken with devils. But the thing I wanted to ask after, he called her a dog.
Yeah.
And she admitted that she was a dog.
Yes.
He said that her faith was so great, but then they're going to say that at that very hour, her daughter was made whole.
That's right.
I was wondering, if white people humble themselves onto the Creator like that, will He make them whole?
No. Here's what happened. Her daughter was possessed of a raving demon, right? And that demon was cast out of the daughter by the mother. Look at the overall story. This is what the Christians miss. That Jesus, who they say was sent into the world to fight against evil and wickedness, correct?
Yeah.
He would not touch this woman. That's the part they just don't want to see.
Okay.
He wouldn't touch her. He wouldn't even, in fact, when she first spoke to him, he pretended she wasn't even there.
Okay.
And then Jesus went thence and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which is one of the sons of, I told you before, from the sea where Canaan came from. Right? And behold, and look, a woman, look why they put that, and behold. Why behold? Why not? And a woman came to him. It was like, it's an astonishing thing for a Canaanite to approach him. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, that's of Sidon, where the Amorites come from, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. Why would she have to say have mercy on him if he was there to heal people? Because she knew that Jesus was not sent to her.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that? Now, here's the point. Christians pretend that Jesus was sent to everybody in the world. And right here, this woman who approached him said, have mercy on me, O Lord. The trick is, O Lord is not Lord like Rabba in the scripture. It's Sayyid. See, the thing is, when they translate, they use different words for Lord. Whenever the word Rabb, Lord, it's used for Rabb al-Alameen, the sustainer of the heavens, as you would have it in your language. But then they use Sayyid for Abraham, where his wife called him Lord, which means Mr. or Lord or Master. And the word is a Sayyid, okay? In the original scripture in the language, at this point, he says, yeah, Sayyid, oh, Mr. But while they're pretending she's respecting him, she's suddenly disrespecting him. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Son of David, my daughter is grievous, vexed with a devil. The woman is a devil. I mean, there's a jinn tormenting the house. Because some white people get so possessed until they go off and start shooting people like they did at McDonald's, just walking with a gun and start shooting up people. Those type of devils, they even worry the more sophisticated devil. Now that devil gets mad at the Klan who goes out and just starts hanging black people. Those devils are possessed with legions of demons, as Jesus said. They have legions of them. They have spiritual demons who come into them as opposed to just being the incarnation of the seed of Satan, which we can find in Genesis if we want to. All right?
Okay.
So now this woman is, first of all, disrespecting Jesus by calling him a son of David as opposed to the son of God, or the Messiah, which you're supposed to be recognized as, right? Now, you said my daughter's acting crazy, like a demon. What did he say Jesus did right in 23?
But he answered her not a word.
All right, now, because this woman was not addressing Jesus by who he saw himself as and who the world was supposed to see him as, what did he do?
He didn't answer.
He ignored her. Mister, you, son of David, when he was supposed to be Rabboni, that Mister, that Master, son of God to them, or the Messiah to them. And Jesus didn't even pay no attention. So the disciples looked at this woman because they're watching to see who's coming against Jesus, to see who might be detrimental or dangerous to him. And he says, and the disciples came and besought him, went to get him, but they was obviously not standing next to him, right? And what did they say to him?
And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That's right. He told the woman, I can't help you because I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know another good point? How could they be lost if he was standing there with his disciples who people keep saying were of the house of Israel? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he was not talking about his disciples either. He was with them and knew that they wasn't the ones he was there for. And he said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only, which is symbolic of the tribe of Judah. Then came she and worshipped him. Now she refers to him as Rabboni. She went and found out something somewhere and came back and fell at his feet. They call it the hem of his garment. Fell at his feet and said, Lord, help me. Now he'll talk to her. Because she addressed him properly. And he answered and said, it is not meet, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He wanted to know if she understood what he meant. And she said,
true.
That's right. Yet
the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.
Now, the Canaanites are therefore the servants of the children of Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, back in Genesis, when Canaan first got the curse on him, it said, curse be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brother. Here this Canaanite confirmed that statement. Then maybe you will ask why and how. She says, you're right, but as a servant, I'm entitled to the crumbs from my master's table. And what did Jesus say in 28?
Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith.
Be it unto
thee
even
as thou wilt.
Now, whose will is it?
Thou.
Not his will.
Pardon me?
Not Jesus' will, though, right?
Right.
Be it unto thee as
thou wilt.
And go ahead, and what happened?
And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
When talking to that woman, he said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as your will, not thy heavenly Father's will. Unto thee as
thou will.
And go ahead, and what happened?
Why aren't you the landlord? Yes, you. Why aren't you the landlord?
Her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
When talking to that woman, he said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as your will, not thy heavenly Father's will, but your will be done. That we tell you over and over again that Jesus says that the devil is so powerful. In Matthew 24, he said he is so powerful, he's going to be doing all types of signs and wonders, that if it was possible, he would do what? He would fool even the very elite. Yes, there are preachers in the street that have the power to heal, to win people over, to perform all types of abstract feats, The devil himself has the power to do things. He can cure his own. He has the spirit of Satan in him, the same way you have the spirit of the Father in you. And that's right back in Genesis, in the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis and find out if the devil is inside people. The first verse in Genesis chapter 3 is speaking about who? That's right. Read it for me, please.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made.
Correct. Now, if we went to Revelation chapter 12 and wanted to get an understanding of the serpent, we would. Number 12 of Revelation, verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Correct? And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and his angels were cast out with him. You understand that? Now here we speak about a devil called a serpent or a dragon who was cast out of heaven because he versed the angels and he has deceived the whole world. Well, let's see where he first deceived man and woman in Genesis, okay? Now, the serpent is the devil, correct?
Yes.
According to the Bible. Okay, so let's see what it says about this devil. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord, the Creator, had made. And he said unto the woman, speaking to Hawa, Eve, yea, has the Creator, which they use the word God, said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now here's this serpent, the dragon, the devil, coming to this woman and saying, did the Creator of heaven and earth tell you that you should not eat of the tree of the garden? And Hawa, Eve, the mother of all living, said unto the devil, or the serpent, we, including Adam now, we may eat of the fruit of the trees, plural, of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the Creator has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye shall die. That means that prior to this, this woman and her husband, Adam and Hawa, Eve, were not destined to die, right? Mm-hmm. He said, we were told by the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth that we could eat of every tree in the garden, but the one that's in the midst of the garden, we shouldn't touch it, otherwise we'll die. And what did the deceiver who deceived the whole world, what did he do? The serpent said unto the woman,
you shall not surely die.
You're not going to die. For what?
For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Now, this is an interesting point that people keep popping over. Now, obviously, Eve's eyes was literally open because she was looking at the serpent and talking to him. So we're not talking about her physical eyes, right?
Right.
We're talking about her spiritual eyes that opens up, which lets you know good from evil, called willpower, where you can make decisions on what's right and what's wrong, and you can make decisions over life and death like the Almighty. He knows that that day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to be like him, having the power to take life and give life, to lie and to steal, to do all the things that are entitled within the gift of will. And what happened?
When the woman saw that the tree was good for food.
First thing she did is saw that it was
good for food.
It was healthy looking, looked like something delicious to eat. Right?
And that it was pleasant to the eyes.
It had a beautiful appearance.
And a tree to be desired to make one wise.
These are the three most important promises of the devil.
I was told that the apple was like symbolic. It wasn't really an apple that they ate. It wasn't really an apple. Was it really fruit off of the tree?
The thing is, pertaining to the apple in the garden, is it refers to it as fruit. It doesn't use the word just now. We're looking at what they call a pomegranate apple. You know what a pomegranate apple is?
Mm-hmm.
Or what you refer to as a Chinese apple? When you split it down the middle, you'll see that it has little pods in it. The poppy seed is also referred to as a fruit. A poppy seed plant looks just like the pomegranate apple. It has the same shape, and when it's open, the seeds come out. The poppy seed has a flower, a beautiful white and pink and yellow plant that grows on it. You follow that?
Yes.
Plus, the poppy seed is used for food, for spices. You remember that? Does this sound kind of familiar? It sounds more like Genesis chapter 3. And the woman saw that the fruit was, the tree, was good for poppy seed. And it was pleasant to the eye, had a beautiful plant. And a desire to make one wise. When people take this drug, this crack, this heroin, they start thinking they're supernatural. The temptation was drugs. That's the poppy seed, which is called the apple in the Middle East. It has a beautiful flower, which is used for food. And when intake makes people think that they're supernatural, the devil consumes more of us in drugs than he does in any other type of warfare or genocide that he has. And every time he gets rid of one, he brings forth another one. You understand?
Yes, I do.
Now, go look up a poppy seed and study it. And then look up a pomegranate apple and study its appearance and everything. You see it's a duplicate of one another. Okay? He says, read.
She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her.
What did she just do?
She ate the fruit.
And what else did she do?
She gave it to her husband.
That's another big problem we have. We do wrong and we get weak and we make our mate or our friends do wrong and weak like us. But you people got control of your own soul because you got that will. So you let them do it to you if you want. Go ahead.
And he did eat.
What did man do?
He ate.
Let's go on.
And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked.
Now, did the devil lie? And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Did they die right after eating it?
No.
Okay. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as what? As gods.
Right.
But I say, you people are gods. Everybody say, that's blasphemy. This is what the Bible says. And if you are gods, all right, and the Bible calls you the Son of God also, what makes you any different than Jesus? According to the Bible. Because you did eat of the fruit, and now you know good from evil, and you didn't die, so you must be what? God. And you know good from evil now, don't you?
Yeah.
So those attributes that the devil said would happen if you partake of the fruit did happen. You know good from evil. Your eyes are now open. Now what else happens? Then the woman gave it to the man, and he ate it. All right? What happens? Now they're going to dress themselves.
Right. And the eyes of the Lord, okay. And they sewed.
This is number seven.
Uh-huh.
And the eyes of them both were open. Right?
Uh-huh. And they knew that they were naked.
They knew a new attribute. What is this attribute? Shame. So what did they do when it became shameful?
They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
And many people ask me, what do they mean by aprons? They mean an incomplete garb. An apron only covers a certain part of the body. You understand?
Uh-huh.
It doesn't cover the whole body. If you just run over to 21 for a minute of the same chapter, you're going to see where the Almighty is going to take and dress them fully. You see it? Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord, the Creator, make coats of skin and clothe them. You see it? Chapter 3, verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
The Almighty made them clothe their bodies properly. So a short dress is not appropriate in the eyes of the Most High. He made them put on a cloak, which is in that day meant a full robe, the way we're dressed today, the way you see the brothers and the sisters dressing. He made us cover ourselves. And anybody who's still walking around in an apron or half dressed is walking around just the way they chose, not the way the Father, or what they call the Lord, the God, made us. Now let's go back to where we are at 8.
Okay.
And they heard the voice of the Lord the Creator walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hear it. What's the next attribute from shame? What's the next? Deceit. They tried to deceive the Most High. They heard him coming, and they hid. Now we got shame and deceit. They hid themselves from the presence
of the Lord
amongst the trees of the garden. The very thing that they betook of, they hid themselves in. Not only was he showing deceit, he's also showing the more widely attribute of man, stupidity. To try to hide from the Creator of the garden, in the garden, is really stupid. Right? See, we're getting all these new attributes as human beings here. Now we go on to 9. And the Lord, the Creator, called unto Adam and said unto him. Now why didn't he call unto Eve, Hawa? She's the one that partook of the fruit. Because man was responsible for woman, the Quran teaches us. And man was supposed to see that Eve didn't get seduced by the devil. He still to this day lets the woman be seduced by the devil.
Where art thou?
That's right. He asked, where are you?
Why did he ask that?
It's in the answer. And he, Adam, said,
I heard that voice in the garden.
And I was afraid.
Afraid.
Now man just told a lie. Did he hide because he was afraid, or did he hide because he violated the commandment of not eating the fruit? He lied to the Most High. The Almighty will put forth the form of righteousness and give you the option to walk on the Sirat al-Mustaqim or Sabil Allah, or to walk on Sabil al-Shaytan, the path of the devil. He gives you real power and gives you the right to make the decision that is on you because you are like him. You have willpower. You have self-determination. This is why he asked him. You see? Where are we now? What number?
11.
An 11. And he said, this is the Creator speaking, who told you that thou wast naked? So he knew that Adam hadn't talked to the serpent. You see?
Uh-huh.
Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now notice the answer Adam gives. It's called passing the buck. 12. And the man, meaning Adam, said, what?
The woman whom thou gavest to me.
Man not only blamed the woman, but he blamed the heavenly Father for giving him the woman. He didn't just blame woman. He said, the woman you gave me, she made me eat of it. See that?
Mm-hmm.
13.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord the Creator said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman.
And
the woman said,
the serpent
tricked me, beguiled me, and I did eat. Everybody's passing the buck. There'll be no intercession on Yawm al-Akhirah, Allah Ta'ala teaches us. You understand?
Yes.
Let's go on. And the Lord, the Creator, said unto the serpent, Shaitan, Iblis, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above the cattle and above the beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, first of all, what is this dust that thou shalt eat all the days of thy life?
Is it man?
Correct. How do you know?
Because man was made from dust.
That's right. Because the Bible teaches that he created man of the dust of the earth and blew into man of his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And that's interesting. It's the dust that the devil was going to eat. And why they say he'd be on his belly, he meant he'd be moving around, slimy and sneaking in his deceit. And he'll get men. You see that?
Uh-huh.
Let's go on.
And I will put my enmity.
Now, this is the most important chapter in Genesis, and Christians and Muslims and everybody ignores it.
You have been listening to The True Light, a question and answer session with Saeed Al-Imamisa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi. Now let us return to The True Light with Saeed Al-Imamisa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you come up with the first signs of racism. Many people have attempted to translate it from the original Syriac Arabic into Arabic, into Hebrew, into Aramaic, into Latin, Greek, and now even down into English. And be they Jehovah Witness, Seventh Day Adventist, or whatever, all these scholars of the scriptures never attempt to explain this one spot. What they mean by bruising, what they meant by enmity. Enmity, in the original scripture, is the Arabic word adawa, and it means hostility. Now listen to it when I translate it word for word. This is Genesis of the Torah of Nabi Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the third chapter and the 15th verse. After the devil had tempted Mother Hawa, taking of the forbidden fruit. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them. Where and adawat, the hostility, aj'alu, I will make bainaka between you, because he's now speaking to the devil, bainaka between you, wa and baina, between al-imra'at, the woman, meaning Mother Hawa, the wife of Adam, who is called the mother of all living. You see here, the woman, Eve. And then he continues, wa baina, and between neslika. The word nesala means seed, offspring, by way of sexual contact, the generation, the bloodline. This is not some spiritual or allegorical thing. This is, in actuality, the seed of the devil we're talking about here. And the seed of the woman, implying that they both have genes. Look up the word nesala. The same word comes out in Hebrew. Don't let them tell you that because it's an Arabic translation. The original scripture was in Syriac Arabic. This is seed, nesl. Or in this case, it says neslika, your seed. Wabaina nesliha, her seed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he has put hostility. This is racism. He's going to make hostility exist between you, Shaitan, the devil, wa baina al-imra'at, and between the woman, wa baina neslika, and between your offspring, wa baina neslaha, and between her offspring. The Creator is going to put hostility between two seeds of people. One would come out of the seed of Hawa,
and the other is going to come out of the seed of the very devil. That's right. The devil has a seed, and the Quran will back me up. And I'll get to that later. Huwa, it or he, hashimu. It will break, shatter, or crack up a hollow thing, destroy, smash, or crush. See, they use bruise, and say they use the Hebrew word shoe. For hostility, they use eba. True for bruise, it means to crack or break, to bust asunder, to shatter. Now watch what it says. You, Hashimu, he will break the asaka, your head, or it will break your head. Whose head? The devil's head. Head of the devil will be shattered. This sounds like a prophecy of the coming down of the beast, where they speak of the head of the beast having to come down. Or in Deen al-Islam, throughout the traditions of al-Islam, how the head of the Dajjal must be taken in the last day. This is what it sounds like. Somebody knows what they're talking about. Wa anta talsa, the word is, and you shall fight. Talsa, and it goes who on the end. You shall bite him like when a snake, who we're talking about, the serpent, bites someone with their venom and poisons them with it. And it says that you're going to be bitten, or he, whoever this is of the seed of the woman, he will be bitten in urdab, in his heel, or the lower part of his foot. Make note that the woman's seed will strike the devil and destroy the head. The word here is ra'is, meaning leader. I'm talking about the leader of the beast called Abaddon and Apollyon in the book of Revelation. But if you read the book of Revelation, you see that this beast has to come down. And this beast will rule an army. When John looked into the sky and saw a great star fall and hit the earth, he's talking about a third world war. And he saw a head over this army, which he called Apollyon, Abaddon, the beast, the dragon, the old serpent, called the devil. Now, what does this mean? The meaning of this quote, when we translate it and get its true meaning, let's listen to it. Also, I, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make you, the devil, have hostility. This hostility will be between you, the devil, and between the woman, Eve or Hawa, alayhi salam. And also between your children, your devil children, and her, Adam and Eve's children. If the hostility, but that's why it's who are there, it, the hostility, or it, he, the sons of Canaan, who have the hostility. And you know what's amazing? It manifests itself every day. Because sometimes a black man will walk into the store, or a black woman will walk into a major store, and because they're not dressed the way the white society predicts, you walk up and ask, can I help you? And you have to say, well, my money's as good as anybody else's. You become all paranoid. Because they walk up and they assume that you're a thief. They have this hostility against you because they're so small-minded, out of their hostility and hate for you, they insult you when you walk out of their store or their establishment. So this hostility is between the devil's seed first and, of course, the woman, Eve's seed. But this hostility will break the devil's rule. And you will be bitten by his hostility. And the poison of this hostility will also bring you down. Now, this is the key to real racism.
Salaam alaikum, brother. I'm a Sunni Muslim, and I think you teach racism.
Now, I'm always asked, am I a racist? I can't be a racist. I belong to the race that is segregated against. How can I be the racist? I belong to the people that's been abused. I belong to the people that's being misinformed, uneducated. Of course, there's a lot of so-called Sunni Muslim brothers of mine who are ignorant to the truth. Now, that's racism when Jesus says, I know the blasphemy of those who call themselves Judean or not. Because he claimed to be of Judah. So like me today, I say, I know the blasphemy of you people who say you're descendants of Abraham, you're not. Al-Islam, in Al-Islam, in Al-Quran, Qala Allah Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he says in the Holy Quran, the third chapter, the 33rd verse, it reads, surely Allah did choose Adam and Noah and the family, and the word is Ahli, Ah, the family, Ali, Lam, Ahli. Which now, because we know that Noah came from Adam, and that Abraham came from Noah, and that Aaron came from Abraham, then this Ahli is Alif Lam used here, Al, means a blood relative like Nesala. The Quran 3:33 says, surely Allah chose Adam. Inna Allah astafa Adam wa Nuh wa Ahla Ibrahim wa Ahla Imran. And over Alameen, he chose these people above all the other people in the earth, all the other tribes in the earth. Allah chose them, he said. Now, what makes this such an interesting quote is that Muslims, be they Sunni, Shiite, Ahmadi, or whatever they call themselves today, in their salah, which is another word for worship, prayer, we all say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad kama salaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. This translates, and I'll get to that word ala because it comes from the Quran 3:33. O Allah, Allahumma salla send ala on Sayyidina Muhammad, our noble Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa Ali. See that word again? Ali, the same thing from 3:33. And on the Ali, the family of Sayyidina Muhammad. Kama as salata, you already have past tense, salatu, send salutations, ala, on Sayyidina, our noble. Notice the two words are the exact same. Sayyidina Muhammad, Sayyidina Ibrahim. Sayyidina Ibrahim, on the noble, our noble Abraham, wa ala, and upon Ahl, Sayyidina Ibrahim, and on the noble family of Ibrahim, innaka hamadu majid, surely you are the most magnificent. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked these two words for family. Many so-called Sunni Muslims approach me about a section in the Quran. They love to throw this section, don't know what it means. Holy Quran 49:13. And this is min Allah ta'ala, ila Rasuluhu Muhammad, to Muhammad, by way of Jibrail, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah. To all human beings, Allah makes a statement in 49:13. O you people, ya ayyuhan nas, O you people, surely we, inna khalaqnakum, surely we created us, you all, Allah and his angels, because we know that the angel is the we. Allah and his heavenly host helped to shape the body of Adam. We created you all, men, from Zakarin Won, from a male, which is Adam, where a female, which is Hawa or Eve. We created you from this, two pairs, a male and a female. وَجَعَلْنَكُمْ وَأَنْجَعَلْنَكُمْ And we made you. Who? Who did we make? We made you. Who? The male and female of Adam. We made you. شُعُوبًا. We made you into شُعُوبًا. What does it mean? It means tribe. Don't tell me the Quran doesn't recognize tribes, because the Quran says the ila fi Quraysh, for the protection of the Quraysh. Ad, Samud, Bena Israel, Midian, Sebian, says tribes throughout the Quran. Don't tell me you don't know what you're talking about. But Allah Ta'ala says right here, he has made from Adam and Eve tribes and wa qabaila. And he made from those tribes, kabaila, families. This is a different family than ahl, or usra, or aila, or ahlel. This means tribes, like from the Prophet Ibrahim, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we got from his wife, Sarah, Isaac, Ishaq, and Ishaq and Ribka or Rebecca gave birth to twins, Jacob and Esau, Yaqub and Isaac. And out of this Jacob, we get 12 sons. And those 12 sons were called the children of Israel, Bnei Israel. And these are tribes. You want to get into detail, we'll get into detail. We get first from Jacob and his wife, Rebecca, as you know, which you can find right in Genesis chapter 35, verse 10, if you dare to look. The first son was Reuben. The second son was Simon. The third son was Levi. The fourth son was Judah. The fifth, Dan. The sixth, Naphtali. The seventh, Gad. The eighth, Asher. The ninth, Ishahar. The tenth, Zebulun. The 11th, Joseph or Yusuf. The 12th, Benjamin. And had one daughter named Dinah. Abraham had another wife named Hagar. And you can find this in Genesis 16:3. And she was the daughter of Abdul Hamid, or Amhotep, who was of Egypt's third dynasty under Zauzer. Now, Ishmael was born, which you'll find in Genesis 16:15. From Ishmael, we get the Ishmaelites, from the family of Abraham, a tribe, the Ishmaelites. Three different sets of tribes came out of the one family, Abraham. And his son started off Nebajot. This is Genesis 25:16. Now, Ishmael's wife was Saida, Fatima, and she is the one who bore him the 12 sons, Saida, Fatima. Nebajot, Pidar, Abiel, Mibsan, Mishma, Dumma, Messa, Hadar, Pima, Dator, Nefesh, Kedema, and the daughter, one daughter, just like Israel, Bessemer, who married Esau, Jacob's twin brother. And that's found in Genesis 28:9. So now I came back into the family through Esau, who became known as the father of the Edomites, which is the red race. Don't listen to these so-called Americans calling themselves Israelites who don't know who Edom is. Edom means red or blood. And Esau, the brother of Jacob, became the father of the Edomite race by mixing with Hittites and other cursed people. From Abraham, he had Isaac, he had Ishmael or Ishmael, and he had his sons Midian, Zimran, Jokshan, Madan, Ishbak, and Shua. And they came from Keturah, his third wife, who you'll find mentioned in Genesis 25:1, the daughter of Nimrod, the mighty hunter of Cush. Polygamy did not originate with the prophet Muhammad and did not originate in Arabia. It originated back in the Torah way before Jesus. So he had three wives, which made him a family man of the family of Noah, which I showed you Allah Ta'ala says he chose above everybody else. And out of that family from Noah, who came from Adam and Eve, that is the single male and female from which the family came. This is not racism. This is history. This is fact. And all of these people thus far was black. Original people. There was no Amorites until, or pale people, cave dwellers, until after Noah and the flood. Now, I just showed you what the Holy Quran is talking about when it says, I made you into Shu'ub and tribes. Those tribes were the Midianites. And the Israelites and the Ishmaelites came from the Qabila, family of Nabi Ibrahim, the prophet Abraham. And what did he say? So that you would know about each other. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that? Why did he say, لِتَعَارَفُوا? Because he knew that the root word here was arafa, arafa, to know about, not alam, to learn from, to learn, but to know about arafa, not adri, to perceive, but arafa, to know about. So, he wants us to know about each other. What is it that we know? When I look at other tribes, I see other customs and other traditions, and that the Quran says that if we all worship Allah Ta'ala in Tawheed, we shall return to Him. Let me tell you a very important point. If you so-called Sunni Muslims want this to appear as a contradiction in the future, you continue to integrate. The Holy Quran, chapter 49:13, is going to become the only verse in the Holy Quran that will be a contradiction by you integrating. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala broke us up into tribes and families that we know about each other. If everybody on the earth intermingles and becomes one tribe and one family, then the Quran will have a contradiction in future generations. Allah ta'ala does not make mistakes. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. I seek protection, Allah, from Satan and the curse. I warn you people to stop praying with my father's words. That verse goes on. You read it. But we're constantly being warned. And who are we being warned against? We're being warned against what's found in Genesis 9:25. Turn to it and let's see what Allah Ta'ala tells us. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brother. Because the white race came out of the cursed seed of Canaan through the house of Noah. Because in 24, the prophet Noah, alayhi salam, it said, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son, meaning Ham, had done unto him. What did he say to Ham? He said, cursed be Canaan. He didn't say cursed be Ham. He cursed Ham's fourth son, Canaan, because the genetics and the genes changed in the fourth. He was albino, and out of his genes came Ham's son's disease, leprosy. Remember the name, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brother. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the creator of Shem. This is who the so-called Germans would say in their part of. They're not Semitics at all. Anti-Semitism is taking place every day in America. You are the true Semitics because the Semitic tribes are blacks. If you want to follow me up, you move on to Leviticus chapter 14. Now, what is this disease or curse that was put on, remember the name, Canaan, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who commanded Noah, alayhi salatu wasalam, to put a curse not on Ham like the so-called pale Mormons in the South pretend. We don't have it. Ham means black. We don't have it. You have it. And what is it? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, what did he tell them? When ye come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession.
This is how Fiverr changed my life. My name is Drew, and I'm the face and hands behind the Lone Fox YouTube channel. I started my first channel when...
And then he said, and I, the Heavenly Father, I put the plague of leprosy in a house, the land. Why in our house and not in the whole land? Because these Canaanites have taken over the land the same way they're doing today. They took the land and was living up in there with their wretched selves. And Allah tells us right there that he put a plague of leprosy there. If they doubt what they look like, all they got to turn back to is Leviticus chapter 13, verse 30. And you'll see, then the priest shall see the plague. What plague? The plague of leprosy on who? Canaan. Then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in the sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it yellow thin hair. Yellow thin, not yellow, nappy hair. So don't ask me about brothers and sisters who got the mixed genes in their albinos and ask me, is this pertaining to them? No, it's pertaining to people with yellow straight hair, blonde hair. The Bible says it, not me. The Bible is what you're calling racism, not me. And Leviticus 13:36 repeats it. And if you want to find out if there's the same plague, Leviticus chapter 13, verse 10. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the raisins be white in his skin. We covered two major points here. One is the color of his skin being white, and the other is the color of his hair being yellow and thin. And the Holy Quran, the 20th chapter, the 102nd verse, will back up the rest with their blue eyes. It tells you about them and their blue eyes in the Holy Quran, and it used the word Zurukan. And many, I mean many so-called American Muslims would love to try to hide this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pointed out their blue eyes. They cannot hide the truth. So if Quran is speaking about blue eyes, don't let them tell you that it means Blair or Claire or Romans or wicked people. The word zurqa from the word azraq means blue. Ask them, what's the word for blue? Azraq. Don't, and say, what's the word for blair? Yeah, Allah Rabbi. Allah, you know all of our mistakes. And people on earth, I warn you, stop playing with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're too clear. I warn the teachers and the ministers and the preachers and the a'imah and the shuyukh, the imams and the sheikh, stop playing with what you don't know. This is way above your head. This truth is far beyond any of you men can imagine. So here, it tells you that the curse was on the seed of Canaan. And the curse was what? Listen to 11, chapter 13 of Leviticus, verse 11. It is an old leprosy. 12. And if a leprosy breaks out abroad in the skin, 13, and you'll see where the white man comes from. Does it make me racist? Because when I read the Holy Quran in the 20th chapter, the 102nd verse, Yauma yunfakhu fis-suri, the day when the trumpet, nafakha, is blown. That's when the angel Raphael will sound the trumpet for judgment, the last day when he shall blow this trumpet. He will blow through the trumpet what? and nahshuru, and we shall assemble, or we shall hashuru, we shall hashara, we shall gather. Who are we going to gather? Al mujrimina. Mujrimi. What does that mean? Jarama, guilty, accused, liar, already committed a crime. We shall gather these guilty. And it says, Yama'idhin, on that day, who are they? They are zurkan. They are blue-eyed. Now, we didn't cover it. Blonde, straight hair, white skin, and blue eyes. And that seemed to be describing what they're calling the devil in the scriptures, or the one that received the curse of Canaan, and or the one that is of the seed that has the curse. The Jehovah Witness ain't having no problem with it. If you read in the Jehovah Witnesses books, they have one called The Awake. I think it was released in November 8, 1981. And they make mention of who it is. They say, black race from Cush, not due to curse on Canaan, whose descendant was white. Now I will ask them, well, if Canaan's descendants was white and Canaan has the curse, what are you saying? Then when you draw Jesus in your books as white and Moses is white, are you trying to tell me that these people are cursed? Or are you a liar? So ask me again, am I a racist? And I'll tell you over and over again that this section in the back in Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, is the father and mother of racism. When the Almighty said he's going to put hostility between the devil's seed, and I want to remind you again, the devil's seed. I have a book out called Racism in Islam, Part 1 and 2. And in these books, I give an in-depth translation, word for word, on racism in Islam. And does it exist? I am not a racist. I know what race we're in. I was told a story about racism, and I'm going to pass it on. It was like this. There was a man named Hitler who got this idea of choice breeding the best blonde hair, blue-eyed, pale-skinned people who he would call a super race. He got it from watching people pick the choice fruits. So what he did is for 47 years in Germany, he bred what he called a perfect race, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale skin. If you ask the average white person, what is a beautiful woman, they'll say a blonde, blue-eyed. You follow? So he bred what he called perfect for 40-something years. I'm telling you this, my brothers and sisters, this is very important. And then he brought it to the Olympics, and he sat back with pride because he knew he had bred a super blonde-haired, blue-eyed race that would win. And then they put him in the race, and along came a black man. And he outran Hitler's perfect blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pink-skinned race. Hitler, need I say, had a fit. What Hitler didn't know is that the Anglo-Saxon slave master had also bred a perfect man. But this perfect man had nappy, kinky hair and black skin and black eyes. He was of the sons of Ham through the seed of Shem, out of the family of Abraham, Noah, back to that male and female, Adam and Eve, who the Almighty said he has chosen above everybody else. And this brother outran him because the slave master had bred his special being after bringing him from Nubia in Africa of Sudan over here for 400 years. And that's you, my brothers and sisters.
الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لا لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم
ربنا أتمن لنا نورنا وأكبر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. This is from the 66th Surah of the Holy Quran, the 8th verse. And read, oh, sustain a complete for us our light. And forgive us, for surely you have the power over all things.
You are now listening to The True Light with As-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi.
Understanding that the cherubim are of the negative angels and the seraphim are of the positive angels, and they are people who are spiritual descendants of these two natures, then why is it so hard for the people who feel that they are of the seraphim to dwell in the tabernacle?
All of those people that are seraphim are magnetically attached to the community. Regardless of how far they travel, or what they see, or where they go, they have this desire to come into the tabernacle. Anyone who is at the door of the tabernacle is just listening. Like the Quran says, there are angelic beings who listen at the door when the Holy Quran is being recited, only to take those recitations out and pervert them. Many people, whether they're black or white, have become cherubim when they were seraphim by nature. Even the angel himself, Azazel and Lucifer, was an angel of pure light. He chose to go bad. So black people can go bad. So when you stall at the gate, Shaitan gets the best of you. He catches you when your consonants are down. He stands at the door, it says in Genesis, and waits for your consonants to drop. He waits at your weak point. He sends out slanders like he did to Job. He kept sending different men in his image to tell Job how the Lord has killed his family. And he kept saying, I alone have survived to tell you this. You got to be careful because many people who have the essence of a seraphim are the pure archangels for those who want to know, and the cherubim are the wicked angels who fought against them before judgment. Many of them transform from angels of pure light into angels of fire and never even know it. Still say they're Muslim, still wear the garb, still say they're praying. That's another mistake a lot of pale Arabs tell people, that Shaitan doesn't pray. That's not true. Shaitan will pray, and his evil servants will also pray, and they will come in a masjid and pray next to you. They will read with you the Quran. They will try to guide you through the scripture their way. They'll not guide you on the Surah al-Mustaqim. They'll not guide you to the covenant. They'll guide you their way, and they'll keep on telling you this is how it really is. This is true Islam. This is the real way because the majority of the educated Arabs accept it. All those people who are educated in those different universities of Al-Islam are not the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides. Those are the ones that professors and teachers of different schools of thought guide. It's a big difference. So the point I'm trying to make is a seraphim knows where he belongs and goes there. His father, that's why he said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. When that spirit was restored to David, when he had his soul restored, he said, he restored my soul. Then he followed by leading me to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You see that? And he also left by saying, I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not I'll dwell outside with my opinions. And you better be very careful, especially you people in there who might be sincere, about those people who sit at the door of the community. They've been in, they absorb a certain amount, and they sit at the door and pretend they here, and they're out teaching, dressed like us, pretend they're us, never have no intentions of being in here. They're more of the devil's children than they are of Ansar. They have came in and have turned back. The Quran refers to them as the munafiq. The munafiqan, or some people translate it as a hypocrite, or the real word is munafiq means a divider, a divider. He divides himself from the community in certain aspects and pretends he's in with us at other times. He says he's with us. He says he's like us. He says he believes in the teachers. He says the imam, he says his leader, etc., etc., but he's not in. He says, because I don't like this and I don't like that. This doesn't go this way and I heard this and I heard that. That is not a seraphim. That is a cherubim in black skin. And he can be as confused about whether or not he is a fallen angel as you can be about whether or not you are a rising angel. Inside his body, there's turmoil or legions pulling him in different directions. That is the devil getting the best of him, because the righteous come in. The righteous are looking at the signs of the time, and they come in. They don't waste no time. They're looking at the world, the events of the world. They're looking at plagues and diseases, and they go right in. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to read the Revelation and get a better understanding, the 19th chapter. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Allahumma, or Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord, our Creator, which they say is God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which is Babylon, this city that you're in, which did corrupt the earth, the whole world, with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand, being the prophets and the saints that this harlot has destroyed, just to prevent the truth. And again, they, meaning the righteous inside heaven, who made it to heaven, which you read the 23rd chapter, is referred to as the crystal city, said, Allahumma, or Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever, This is all a continuation of the book of Revelation, chapter 18, about the smoke of Babylon. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped Allah that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. It's over, meaning hallelujah. Okay? And a voice came out of the throne saying, Alhamdulillah, praise our Creator Allah, all ye His servants.
Peacock is streaming, and it's free. TV, movies, sports,
breaking news,
doc,
servants, and ye that fear Him, taqwa, that's mustaqim, both small and great, be ye a king or a servant. And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah. That was an applause, the righteous who endured to the end, who got the crown of life, who stayed in the tabernacle, will be saying, Hallelujah, that it's over. For the Lord Allah, omnipotent, reigneth. He steps above all ye gods and the Messiah and all of your prophets. Now the whole boundless universe, who is Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Malik al-Yawm al-Din. He now rules as the omnipotent source over all. Now it says, let us be glad and rejoice. Remember Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Speaking about the people who will be slandered and persecuted and spoke out against false. He said, blessed are the persecuted. Remember that? Blessed when man shall revile thee and say all manner of evil against these falsely for my name's sake, because great is your reward in heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, he says. You understand? So it's the people we're talking about on the inside that we have to worry about people reviling and saying all manner of evil against them. They have all kinds of stories about Jama'at Ansar Allah in the Islamic Hebrews. It tells us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And it follows up on that last day, in the seventh verse of 19th chapter, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. And throughout the scriptures, whenever they speak of the marriage of the Lamb, they say it's to the tabernacle of the Most High. They say that it comes down as prepared as a bride, which we'll read as we go on. It'll prove it. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed. That means you were given the right. That's why it says it was granted that you should wear your white. It was granted that you should be arrayed in fine linen. Many Christian preachers try to imply that this wearing of white is a symbolic of your purity. No, it uses the word linen, which is a cloth, a white cloth. That John the Baptist and all the righteous have known for centuries to wear. And now if you go to look to Mecca, you see all of them come from different parts of the world wearing all kind of flowery colors and stupid costumes. But when they get around Beit Haram in Mecca, around the Kaaba, Allah Ta'ala tells them, be like Nabi Ibrahim al-Hanifan and wear that white, that simple white. But all throughout the Quran it tells us to be like Nabi Ibrahim. But they feel they can wear any color when they're outside of Mecca. No, Allah Ta'ala tells us by Hajj, by the pilgrimage, by the Hajj, that we should be wearing white at all times. And that's a sign of our purity, but it's also the garment of the righteous. Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That means we are living in the image and following in the sunnah of all of those prophets who was up until Rasulullah, alayhi salatu wa salam, Muhammad, who was Khatim Anbiya, the seal of all of those prophets. Number 9, and he said unto me, write, speaking to John, of course, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of Allah. And I fell at his feet to worship him. John, when he heard this, wanted to fall down and prostrate himself at the feet of the angel, who was Mikael, the one who walks him through the book of Revelation, to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Isa. I am one of your brethren, for Jesus said, I send this angel in Revelation chapter 1 to signify my word, you see. And he's telling him, I'm also a testimony, because you're speaking in the reign of Jesus' time, where John, where the Kalima would be completed with the word becoming flesh as Jesus, not as Muhammad at that time. So they would say, La ilaha illallah, Isa Rasulullah. The way we after Muhammad came, say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So that's why he claimed testimony to Jesus at this point, because Muhammad had not yet come. And he was speaking about the future world. Worship Allah, though. He made sure he could have the testimony of Jesus. Worship who? Worship Allah. For the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So the testimony of Jesus is merely a spirit of prophecy. But your worship is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Hu wahdahu la sharika lahu. He alone has no partner. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes was flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vestures dipped in blood. And his name is called Kalim Allah, the word of Allah. In the Holy Quran, it teaches, indeed it was called Kalim Allah also. He was still had the word of Allah with him. Alright? And the armies, which were in heaven, notice that, followed him upon the white horse, clothed in linen, white and clean. Now this is talking about after the 1,000 year rebellion, when the 144,000 had been taken up to the crystal city, there to be groomed by the Messiah, Isa and Maryam, who even in Al-Islam we acknowledge, or you acknowledge, would return. You follow? Now the devil had been locked up for 1,000 years.
Wait, I love this. Fiverr is so freaking sick. So last week I actually reached out to a couple of graphic designers who can help me refresh my banner for my YouTube channel and the end slate, which is like the image at the end of a YouTube video. So this is the message that I sent all of them. You know, pretty reasonable and simple. And now it's been a week later and I'm going to look at them for the very first time with you guys. So I'm really excited. All right, so let's get started with the first seller. Oh, I really like the color scheme. I love like muted pastels. I love florals. It's very dynamic, which I like. So the next seller we have is Natalie. This is cool. I really like the blue muted tones. As you guys know, I love pastels. I honestly feel like this end card matches my outfit right now. And lastly, we have Evelyn, who is located in Hungary. Her design influence is inspired by minimalistic Nordic style. All right, so let's take a look at what she did. Wait, I love this. Okay, where do I start? I love this font, Jenim. I like how there are flowers growing out of my body. It's very simple, but it makes such a huge statement. Let's look at option number two. Oh my God, I look like an illustration. I look like a drawing, guys. This is insane. I love the use of color. I'm shook. This one is so good. She made me into a painting. Oh, okay, so those are all of the designers, and I have a big decision to make. I can only go with one. They all did a phenomenal job, but I'm going to have to go with Evelyn because I think our aesthetics just are very, very compatible. And honestly, each option was, it just blew me out of my seat. It was crazy. If you guys are interested in checking Fiverr out, I will leave all the information in the description box. I've also made it extremely simple for you because I have curated my own like favorite Fiverr seller list. That link will be down in the description box, so please pop that open. Mm-hmm.
This is eToro, the leading social trading platform with over 13 million users worldwide. We make smart crypto trading easy, offering users the ability to buy and sell the world's top cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, and more. Check out what other traders are up to by viewing their profiles and learning about their investment strategies. And even copy the moves of popular investors automatically with CopyTrader. If you'd like to try before you trade, check out our virtual portfolio. It lets you trade with $100,000 in play money using real-time market data. You can practice trading risk-free, whether you're a beginner or a seasoned investor. eToro is where the world trades crypto. Join us today.
And let loose on the world, like he does in the book of Job. He let loose on the world the total temptation of all humanity. And at this point, those who had been in heaven for 1,000 years, those first resurrectionists, are being ready to come back to wage war against the devil. I feel sorry for you people who don't make the first resurrection. Because when the devil is let loose from the pit on earth, he's going to wreak havoc that you've never felt before. And his day is approaching. 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he could smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treated the winepress. What are we speaking about? He's talking about the judgment that the Messiah and the 144,000 is going to pass upon the world and upon Satan. He's going to judge people by the tongue out of his mouth. The two-edged sword out of his mouth is to cut up lies like a serpent, a sting. He's going to come forth with truth. The two edges are backed up by the languages of prophecy, the speaking in tongues and in translation, to make things clear in language. And this is the problem we have as teaching of Islam here in America and trying to resurrect people, is they say we spend too much time on the word. It's the meaning of words that makes the scriptures clear, because they called him the word. So you got to start with the word, the written word, and through that there you can make things clear. And then he's going to judge and rule by a rod of iron. There's going to be a lot of suffering, because they use that same reading, that rod, to calculate the number of the beast and to calculate those who are in the tabernacle from those who have given themselves over to become Gentiles. The winepress is mentioned as being as high as the bridle of a horse in Revelation, which is 3 feet from the ground, where it says blood will run through the streets at the height of a bridle. The horse's bridle stands 3 feet from the ground. The fourth is the wrath of the Almighty Allah. These 144,000 will come forth with the power of Allah to sting the world. And he has on his vesture, on his thigh, the name of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the reason why they refer to Isa and Maryam as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is because David himself was a Messiah, which is clearly mentioned in Psalms chapter 2. Every time you see the word anointed in the Bible, the word anointed means Messiah, Messiah, or Mesha, or Misha, depending on whether it's Arabic, Aramaic, or Hebrew. But they'll translate Messiah into the word anointed when they don't want to mislead people into the truth by accident. But they make you think that anointed is one word and Messiah is the next. Any biblical or Bible dictionary, you look up the word Messiah, they'll translate it anointed. So they had to point out that this final Messiah here was King of Kings. His judgment is greater than the book of the kings. So they had prophets who wrote the book called the Book of Kings. And David taught out of that stuff in the Psalms of Solomon. And they were saying that this one is the King of Kings, because he comes with grace. Grace is ni'mah, or forgiveness. And the Lord of Lords, he's over every rabbi that have ever existed. He's the master of all the rabbis. He no longer falls under Kohen. He no longer falls under Levitical law because he was not a Levite. But they had to establish that he was higher than all of them. Okay? And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heavens, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great Lord or the great creator. Why did this happen? Because if we go back to the book of the prophet Noah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and how he was summoned before the judgment of the world of his time to gather all the animals together. Here we're speaking about the judgment again. And remember, the first time the world was going to be judged, it was judged by water. But this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it shall be judged by fire. So he called the birds to bear witness. Number 18, that ye may eat of the flesh of the king and the flesh of the captain and the flesh of the mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Of course, the next question comes up. What is he talking about eating the flesh? Do you people have a Quran in there? If you do, turn your Quran to Surah Al-Fil, which is the Surah of the Elephant. Would someone read it?
There's never been a better time to upgrade your dentures. We do anything to make you smile. Book today.
Okay, this is the 105th surah of the Quran. It is in the name of Allah, Rahman, Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Healer, the Merciful. Hast thou not seen how the Lord dwelt with the people of the elephants?
For the people of the elephants were Abraha and them who came through Ethiopia, through Yemen, through Ethiopia, to try to take the Kaaba because they knew of the birth of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Ta'ala protected the Kaaba. This way, he came forth with elephants riding to conquer and stomp all the people around the Kaaba and put their gods and their idols there. But Allah protected the Kaaba this way. Go ahead.
Okay, second verse. Did he not manifest their scheming to destroy the Kaaba? Was given an error, the grave error? And consequently, on them he sent airborne flocks, throwing hot stones from Sijil. By throwing the stones from Sijil, he made their flesh raw, like kernels of quickly consumed corn and chewed hay. That's it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabi fil. Alam yaj'al kidahum fi ta'wil. وارأصل عليهم طير أبهيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم قصف مقول. If you make note that Tayrin in the third verse again, could you read it? Consequently.
Consequently, on them he sent airborne flux.
Tayrin are the birds. He used, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the birds. This, by the way, is where Alfred Hitchcock got his picture concept. He used the birds to attack these people who came out against the Meccans while he was against the followers of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how he protected them. And he will protect the 144,000 again when he calls the birds. I just want you to see that a lot of biblical quotes match directly to the Quranic meaning. If they just read the Quran, they'd see what they meant. If you ask the average Christian preacher what this is talking about, they wouldn't even know. Ezekiel 38:18 also will speak about it. 19. Again. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So now the beast, the devil himself, has got his army together, and they are preparing to war against El Messiah and the 144,000. Notice that this is a replica of that story in the Quran, Surah Tufiyin, when those horsemen on elephants came to make war against Mecca, where Rasulullah Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was born and fell. Number 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, not prophet, the false prophet, because there will be a flatterer who's going to come in the name of the Messiah and deceive the world, Daniel teaches, a false Christ who's going to rise up and fool the whole world. We call him Messiah as the Dajjal in Islam. Many Muslims are going to drop their deen and follow this false prophet that worked miracles before him. And this false prophet will have the power to perform miracles. Many times people ask me concerning Christian preachers and how do they heal. The devil has the power to heal. The devil was an angel. You can heal in the name of Jesus Christ and be wrong. You can heal in the name of Buddhism and be wrong. With which he deceives them that had received the mark of the beast. His miracles and his falseness as a false Christ is how he's going to deceive people and give them the mark. Now in Al-Islam, Rasulullah Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout the hadith, they keep making mention of, you know, the followers of Masih al-Dajjal because they'll have a kafir on their forehead, the letter K. Now, what they have misinterpreted is that they have people looking for a letter K when it doesn't mean that. The letter K is symbolic of the kafir. And when you look at people who are living in the image of the beast, if you look at the Arab world today, and if you look at the president of Egypt, no beard, no taqiyah, suit, tie, he's dressed like any other Britishman. And the same thing would be Syria, Jordan, Morocco, and even Saudi Arabia, and up until recently, even the Sudan. These people are living in the image of the beast. Therefore, when you see them, you see a K. You see a kafir. They have the mark of the beast on them. The whole Muslim world is making a transition from following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, living the way he had prescribed for us to live, dressing the way he dressed, eating the way he ate, praying the way he prayed, and doing things the way he did it. Now we're following the hadith of men from different parts of the world who are altering them to suit their culture. Now there's Muslims dressing like Pakistanians and like Afghanistanians, and some Arabs come here and they dress like Americans, put on little silly hats and plaid shirts and go to college here at NYU and give up total sunnah and then call themselves Sunni.
Imagine this scenario. You buy a little known cryptocurrency at $2.82 from a major exchange. The coin surges to $26.50 per coin, handing you a nine-fold gain. Sounds pretty good, right? But what if this happened instead? You buy the same cryptocurrency, but this time you buy it using a perfectly legitimate backdoor method for just 48 cents before the coin is listed on the major exchange. Instead of making only nine times your money, you make 55 times your money. Is this really possible, or is it just a pipe dream? Well, if you know where to look, and you have some money you can afford to risk, I assure you, this is very possible, and I'll show you how it's done. My name is Martin Weiss, and I'm the founder of Weiss Ratings, America's number one independent rating agency, and the world's only financial rating agency that grades cryptocurrencies. So in our work, we come across all sorts of strange, off-the-wall, but legitimate ways to generate outsized returns from cryptocurrency markets. This is one of those strange but legitimate ways. It involves what I call a hidden crypto exchange, a perfectly legal, perfectly reasonable method for buying undiscovered cryptos at far better prices before they're listed on the major exchanges. it kind of reminds me of pre-IPO investments in the traditional financial market. The difference is, with this method in cryptocurrencies, even average investors can participate. You don't have to be an accredited investor, nor do you need any special connections. And the best part is that you can tap into this backdoor method to find coins selling for mere pennies that have the potential for truly outsized gains. One of the examples I cite in my latest presentation is the one that surged 55 times. Another shot up 125 times. And still another skyrocketed a mind-boggling 1,250 times in just 3 months. That's a gain of 125,000%. Now, of course, that's an extreme example, so don't expect to make that much money. But even if you can make only one-tenth as much, it's an exceptional opportunity. And from everything we can see, there are multiple exceptional opportunities still available. I tell you all about them and how to tap into this hidden crypto exchange in my video presentation. Simply click the button below to watch it now for free, while it's still available online. I think this will open your eyes to enormous possibilities. And if you think you've missed the boat in the crypto market, you'll see why this boat has barely left the dock. Take a look for yourself by clicking the button below right now.
Want to know where to invest $1,000 right now? Well, forget about stocks, real estate, or cryptocurrency. There is a little known trend taking America by storm right now called digital real estate. And digital real estate creates online assets that have the potential to generate income and grow in value over time, just like physical real estate. In fact, it's one of the easiest ways for regular Americans to take advantage of this emerging industry. So you want to know how you can get started with digital real estate? Well, stick around for the next 60 seconds and I will show you how. Hi, my name is Jeff Lerner and I did not become a multimillionaire the traditional way. I didn't work 40 years for the man, didn't invent anything, definitely didn't inherit a trust fund or win the lottery. But what I did do is take advantage of digital real estate. And since then, I've generated over $80 million, been on the Inc. 5000 list twice, won a bunch of other awards, and most importantly to me, I've helped tens of thousands of other people learn about digital real estate. Now, for the first time ever, I'm sharing how you can unlock the secrets of digital real estate and create an awesome life all inside a super simple short book called The Millionaire Shortcut. And I'm not going to do this forever, but for right now, it is 100% free. No catch, no shipping costs, and no credit card required. And I'll send this right to your email and you can download it instantly. So click the link on your screen right now. Go to my website and enter your email to download your free copy. This book is less than 20 pages. You can be reading it in the next 5 minutes and you'll be done in the next hour. And I promise it's going to be the most powerful book that you'll ever read on how it can be possible to take advantage of digital real estate and create your legacy in this new economy. Did you know that every single day in America, according to Forbes magazine, there are over 1,700 new millionaires created? And it is more than double that across the globe. People are becoming millionaires now faster and easier than ever before. But how do they do it? And more importantly, can an average American do it too? Well, that's exactly what you're going to learn about in this book. Plus, after you get the book, I'm going to give you access to a free bonus video training that shows you exactly how I build digital real estate, as well as the blueprint for how you can apply it in your life. So you'll definitely want to make sure you watch that entire video. So with that said, click the link on your screen, enter your email address, and I will send you a free copy of the book right away. Plus, you'll get the free bonus training on how to apply all of this to your life.
And look at an Arab star and say, we're not Muslim. What a joke.
It tells you that you can expect to see them with the mark of the beast. And when one of them walks up to you, and Adam, I don't care how, what country he's from, he walks up to you, the first thing you ask him, are you a Muslim? Ask him, is he a Muslim? And he says, yeah, I'm a Muslim. I'm from Egypt. Then that don't make you a Muslim. Following the way of the Prophet Muhammad, he left two things for you, Quran or Sunnah. Following his way is what makes you a Muslim. And if I look at you from head to toe and I don't see you dressed in the likes of him, then you're not a Muslim. I don't care what white Arabs told you, how much flattery they give you, so that they can make friends with Christians and Jews after Allah tells us not to. Christians and Jews don't even understand their own doctrine. They're fighting each other. Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 1-14 tells you that. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're fighting, and they both have the same scripture. Or they're disputing about Abraham, and their book came after him. Yet the Muslim world is trying to emulate all these kings are trying to act like and live like the American world. An average Muslim, you see, if he calls himself a Muslim and he's not in a Sunnah, then you're not a Muslim yet. Then you may be trying to become a Muslim. And I don't care if you're born in Sudan, or born in Egypt, or born in Morocco, or born in Saudi. If you're not just within the Sunnah, you haven't found your way to the Sunnah of Rasulullah, don't tell me you're a Sunni. You're a hypocrite. And then, that worship, his image. Our people now worship his image. Our women straighten their hair and put them in blue contact. Stop trying to live in his image and put back on your garb of righteousness. And all you people slid out of your jalabiyahs and slid back into American clothes and flag caps and checkered shirts. Slide right back into the path of righteousness. So the judgment is near. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, which is another word for sulfur. The 16th Revelation, 13th chapter would also support that. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which swore proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowl were filled with their flesh. 15:17 in Revelation will back it up, and 18, as well as 17:16 in Revelation will back it up. Those that are left over after the devil and the false prophet is cast in a fire and brimstone, and the 144,000 will destroy you themselves. You will be destroyed also. Those who are the remnant will be slain. You'll be destroyed. When we destroy you, we'll be with the tongue of our mouth. The way the Ansar Allah community is coming forth now into the world, and we put everybody on the spot, and we question everybody's teaching. We make them question their leaders, and their leaders can't answer, so all they do is they don't believe those people. But you cannot stop the truth of the Ansar Allah community. And that's what they know. All of Sunni Muslims and the Shiites and all the different groups and the Bilalians and anybody that hates our community, they can talk about everything about our morality, about the moral conduct. They can create all kinds of stories on, I heard this and I heard this. I heard he has all these millions of wives and all these millions. They can create all that everything. You say, forget the man. Okay, he don't count. What about the truth? Let me ask you some questions about the Quran or about the scripture. It can't go. That's what you judge by. Let's read on. Now we move on to number 20. And I saw an angel come down, this is Mikael, from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Revelation 12:9 will give you another description of Satan. Now, Mikael comes down after this, after a 1,000-year period, after they raised war, and he grabbed the hold of Satan. The false prophet, remember, is already gone. Now, Satan himself is left. What does he do with him? He's going to bound him up again. He bounds him 1,000 years and gathers him into the bottomless pit and shuts him up and sets a seal upon you. You see a ring on your finger. It has a six-pointed star and crescent. That ring you wear on your finger with the six-pointed star and crescent is the seal to confound the devil. You can't get around him. How many of y'all who wear that ring have had a devil walk up to you and say, you know what that means? And you know it, bear witness. White man will see that ring on your finger and say, excuse me, can I see that symbol a minute? And his face will fall apart. He'll go, what does that mean? Is that Islam? Is that Judaism? Ooh, what are you? You say, I'm an Islamic Hebrew. He goes, a what? An Islamic Hebrew. I follow the religion of Abraham. It's not possible. You can't be an Islamic and be a Hebrew. They say, you're right. You can. I can. I am the nation that Father Abraham was talking about. You knew I was coming. You knew I'd come like a thief in the night. You didn't think we were going to tell you he was here. While Honorable Elijah Muhammad was preaching, and while Noah Jirali was preaching, and while Sheikh Dawood was preaching, and while Lasuni Muslim and Ahmadiyya was preaching, we wasn't preaching, we were building. We came like a thief in the night. He just looked around, and we were here. When we looked around, the rest of them, they said, I just looked around, and they were gone. He just looked around, and we're here. And now he has to contend with this new thing. The doctrine is unstoppable. He knew it. But that seal, you better get your seal and keep it on, because it's your protection against it. Don't let nobody fool you.
Renew Life Extra Care Probiotic renews your immune health, digestive health, and well-being. Shop now.
Who keeps him informed as to what takes place in the universe and what took place in the universe. So I am not him as per se Michael. I am doing Michael's job. That's why it says, I send mine angel. The angel is the spiritual part that inspires the man, you see?
Yes,
it was necessary for Master Farah Muhammad to appear as a person to, in a physical form to inspire a physical man because they were living in a mystery world. Okay? Michael has come into me as a spiritual being and influences the way I feel and think and what I say. All this information I'm putting out here, I'm telling you brother to brother, eye to eye, ear to ear, cheek to cheek, I could not do it myself. I'm amazed at some of the information that comes to me from this man, Michael. You know what I'm saying? He astonishes me. I have to go back sometime and read the book myself. He will ask me questions. I say, wait, let me go look it up. Because it's just not mine, and I'd be a fool to try to claim it. So Michael is moving through me to herald in the Messiah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. The initial question that I asked was that in the heavens, when you speak about it in Revelation, there was a war in the heavens. And from reading the doctrine, I thought I understood that there was a war prior to Iblis being brought amongst the seraphim. And I was confused as to how could they rebel if Will came with Adam? Was this prior to the advent of Adam when the cherubim rebelled, or was it with the advent of Adam and him teaching Will to Iblis?
It's who he rebelled to. You see, Will is the right to make decisions. Half of 180 is 90. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So those angelic beings were making decisions, but none of their decisions was put before or questioning Allah's divinity or his purpose. Because there was nothing in the heavens to question that. When Adam was promised into existence, which is in the book of the Suhuf, then they want to know, right, what is this kind of being? Before, prior to that, all they had was seraphim and cherubim. And both of these were broken up into races like we are today. But there was no spiritual competition. There was no reason to question the divine. Or the divine purpose. Man today on earth questions the divine purpose. What am I doing here? Why am I here? Why did he create evil? Why did he do this? Why did he do that? That's how you know the war between good and evil is about to start again. Because here's a man with 360 degrees trying to get back to his 720 degree nature. And he's starting to use his 360 degrees to question things in the spiritual realm when his 360 only covers him on the physical realm. You dig what I'm saying? Now the angels in their realm, their 90 was equivalent to your 360. They could think. You follow? So yes, you're correct. There was conflict between the angels prior to the conflict between Michael and Azazel. Because there was two. There was another realm existed. That's why the angels said, are you going to create one to cause mischief and shed blood? How would angels know about the shedding of blood if they were just spirits or ghosts? They knew about the shedding of blood because they knew the battles of the angels in heaven before. That wasn't a thing. No, see, I think the bottom line is no will is questioned until you question the will of Allah. Inshallah. Mashallah. No will is questioned. So mean when the angels made decisions in heaven, it didn't mean they could not think or make decisions to do or not to do. It meant they could not make decisions to do or not to do what Allah commands until the spark of the nature of man was created. And when it was created, anything created in the spiritual realm affects all spiritual beings. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So when the spiritual spark of Adam's nature was being created to incarnate physically, the angels were receiving that energy. They was in a realm. So Adam, then they said, well, who is that? Or what is that? And where is his destiny? Are you going to create, are you creating another Azazilla, another cherub to rule? You follow that? And that was what they feared. So when they were told to prostrate before Adam, they were not rebelling merely against Adam. They were rebelling against Allah. Because the essence of the question is, check this now, and I've got to be careful with this because it's part of 360 again. Right? The essence of the question is that if they do bow, if the angels do bow, then they're bowing to something other than Allah. Now, if Allah tells the angels to prostrate and yet tells them that no one should prostrate to nothing but them, maybe Azazel did the right thing by not prostrating. He was the only one who didn't prostrate. Because if they prostrated to Adam, then it was going against the law that you shouldn't prostrate to nothing but Allah. Or there was a different law in the heavens at the time. You see what I'm trying to say? It goes into dimensions of, it gets heavy.
Is the answer to that going to be in the book?
Yeah, oh, definitely. The answer's not going to be in the question book. The answer's going to be in the answer book. I'm putting the question book out because I want to see that dumb look on the Sunni Muslim's face when they can't answer these things. And then I'm going to answer them with ease and say, now bear witness to whom Allah sent.
Thank you, brother. I just have one more question. The initial question was Michael asked to bow down also. Was he amongst those who was asked to bow down, or because of his 720 degrees of knowledge, was he exempt from that? Shikanta.
No, Michael was not asked to bow down.
Assalamu alaikum. I have a question about forgiveness. Who are we supposed to forgive, and how do we forgive what has happened to us?
All right. We are not supposed to forgive anybody. Allah is the forgiver. The white man is a fool when he stands up and tells me to forgive everything he did to me. And if I did attempt to forgive him, I still would not forget it. Which means the moment I see traces of it pop up again, any form of racism, for instance, someone say, well, I don't have anything against colored people. Some of my best friends are colored. Immediately, that's a very, they think they say, white people, when they say that, they think they're complimenting you and they're really insulting you. You're not asked to forgive them. The Jews, and I'm quoting Minister Louis Farrakhan now, the Jews don't want no forgiveness from the Germans. They still hunting them down and doing to them what they accused them of doing to them, hanging them and burning them. They hung some guy who was almost 80 years old for their Holocaust. Well, black man, we had a Holocaust too. Millions of us died in the past. Between Africa, as they call it today, and America, millions of black people died, man. And then when you got here, they sold you like a piece of meat. They separated your family. They molested and raped the women and the little girls to breed. And they made men who are certain tribes breed with certain women so they can get bucks, as they call them. Big, strong niggas to work the field. And if any black man rebelled, they castrated him, or they hung him, or they beat him all throughout the South. And they formed an organization to enforce it, call it the KKK. And then the sheriff's department to enforce, to hold back all the religious ones, they call them sheriffs, because the word sheriff is from the word Sharif, which is the noble family of the Prophet Muhammad. That was a special branch of officers that worked with the Klan. and wore a six-pointed star, and they call themselves the Sharia, short for Sharia. You understand? They are still beating us today. Still shooting us dead and getting off like they ain't did nothing. Still poisoning us. Using us for operations to experiment with AIDS, experiment with syphilis. Depriving us of our education. You know what's so funny? The blacks went out their way in the 17th century to form a black lodge called the Prince Hall of Masons. And then when they brought all their minutes to them in London, they rejected it because they were niggas. You had to be an Anglo-Saxon Christian. You know, blacks, instead of telling them what to do with it, went off and formed their own lodge anyway to just to want to be like white people. The Prince Hall Lodge, it's true. You know it is. What has a white man ever done for me and you but abused us? Come on, man. I want to know the truth. I had too many black people say, all white people ain't bad. All the bacteria and AIDS ain't bad. I'm not interested in all of it. I'm interested in the one that can kill me. So I'm not going to accept AIDS because all of the bacteria in AIDS is not bad. You're right. We might find, one white good person. And we'll call him Cherub or Azazel. And we'll try to raise him amongst us. Like they did the New Kids on the Block. Right. Raised amongst blacks. Their music produced by a black man. Had black girlfriends. And then soon they got some authority. Now they're white, the number one white group in America. Just like Azazel, the angel. Raised amongst us out of mercy. And what'd he do? Caused a war in the heaven and caused everybody to be cast to earth. And then a hell be created. No, we ain't supposed to forgive them no more than they want to forgive the Germans for what they say the Germans did to them. And no more should they expect the Japanese to forgive them for what they did to the Japanese. No, we ain't forgiving you. Because you don't even have enough, they don't have enough to say they're sorry for what they did to you. They give you February as Black History Month, and you bragging, and that's the shortest month in the year.
I noticed
that. They gave you the shortest month. And that 1 month out of the year, they're going to pretend they recognize our blackness. We ain't no one-month people. We was on the planet before the white man fell out of the disease. Like Minister Louis Farrakhan said, we are their mothers and fathers. And you better honor your mother and father so that your days may be long on this planet. Because we're getting ready to spank you for all the devilishment you're doing like a parent does. And we're going to spank you with love because you were not as wicked as you are. We don't want to kill you. We don't want to hang you, and we can't castrate you. We don't want to do these things to you that you did to us. We just want you to either respect us or leave us alone. That's all, one or the other. Either respect us for who we are or leave us alone and let us build for ourselves. Let us reprove ourselves. Y'all relate to that? Let us prove ourselves. Stop giving us your image of Negroes. We ain't, all of us ain't no Rochester. All of us ain't no Sammy Davis Jr. All of us ain't no Ben Vereen. We ain't no tap dancers. We don't go around showing our teeth. We don't be flopping into watermelon rhymes. We are not like that. You just show the public what you want to see because you're afraid to show them the gods amongst this nation. But you're going to have to tent with the gods because the Nubian nation is on the rise.
I heard a brother say that in the Quran, it says that men and women are equal, only the men are a degree above women. How are we equal? I don't understand.
Insofar as Allah created us of the same substance, we both have a mind and a soul. We both stand before Allah as individuals. No man is more religious than any woman. No woman is more religious than any man. We have all the same potential. The only thing that makes women appear to be a notch beneath men is the fact that it takes us a couple of minutes to drop a seed and it takes you 9 months to cultivate. That's all.
Okay.
And if any Ansar is telling you women out there, you ain't got no soul, you got to get your soul for me. laugh at him and walk away.
Assalamu alaikum. If we reject Paul as the apostle of Jesus Christ, why quote him in our literature?
If you look at our literature, you see whenever I quote Paul, I quote him in the negative. I will explain Corinthians to show you how Paul is corrupting Jesus' teachings. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But not whenever I speak of divine revelation, I say it is either the book of Revelation or the book of John, because those two books confirm themselves. All the rest of them are not. They're letters and stories. And none of them even claim to be divine. Only the book of John, son of Zebedee, and the book of Revelation, which is Jesus' in jail. And most Muslims make a mistake. If you talk to the average Orthodox Sunni Muslim, he talks about the in jail as the Gospels. And he makes it plural, when in Arabic of the Quran, it's El Injil, a single, the book of Revelation. Last week, Siraj Wahad said, we believe in the Gospels of Jesus. No, Muslims don't. Muslims believe in El Injil, the Gospel of Jesus, not in the Gospels of Jesus. I wish these brothers would learn how to read their language so they'll see what they're saying and stop making a fool out of all of us in the eyes of the Christians. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. So the only books that are correct are Revelation and John, then?
That's the only books in the New Testament are divine. The other ones are not, but hadith. They're revelations, but they're hadith. The same way there's hadith that Muslims have by Bukhari, and there's hadith that the Jews have called the Talmud. You follow? But they're not divine. You're right.
And the second question is when Canaan was cursed, why did he take his sister with him? His sister with him.
In the ancient Hebraic doctrine, when a child was born, a woman and a man, they were destined to be mates. They call them, they say betrothal in the scriptures. That's how they use it. In Israel, if a man child was born, they took a woman child from that tribe, and that person was destined to be their mate without their decision, unfortunately. That was real cruel. But without woman's decision, they were just able to marry them just like that. You follow that?
Yeah.
That's why. So therefore, because Selah was assigned him at birth, she had to go where he said. That was their rituals back then. Don't make much sense today. And plus, you can't get no woman to do that today.
Okay. Ecclesiastic 9:5 states that the dead are conscious of nothing. Can you explain that to me?
Yes, because they speak about two types of death in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. Those that are resurrected from the dead and those that will stay dead. Now, what I mean by that is righteous people know that they don't die. Righteous people know that their soul just goes from dimension to dimension. You follow that?
Yeah, I got it.
Evil people, their soul burns out. When your soul burns out, you're dead. The Quran says, don't say of my prophets that they are dead. They are not. They are with me. The Quran says we took Jesus, Rafa'a, up. And it says also Enoch, Idris, was up. So they are dead, but those dead are people who are dead in the truth. They say in Christianity, dead in Christ. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because they did not rekindle their soul.
You stated in your literature that even right now, if we have our physical bodies and our mind correct, we're able to go to those different planes. Am I right?
Yes, you can. If you line up your spiritual body and your physical body, you will be able to make that. You will make that translation like Enoch did in the Bible.
Okay, can a pale man do that?
Yes, he can. That's a good question. Yes, he can. Only he goes to lower realms. There's upper realms and lower realms. There's Hades and there's Semawat. So the devil, in a spiritual form, travels to lower realms with his demons. He cannot go up where to the fourth realm where you can. He can astral project downward.
Ever since I read the book Science Creation, there's always been a question that bothered me. And your son Yaqub just brought up to mind when I was talking to him. And that was at the forming of Adam's body, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, I believe it was Jibril, go down and collect, I believe, the substance to make it. And Jibril, you know, the substance pleaded with Jibril, no, and Allah sent Mikael. He did the same, and, you know, they didn't do it. And so Allah sent Azazel down, and he did it. what Allah told him to do, he did it, bang. And he took the body form Adam. Now, when he did that, Allah told him, because he had no compassion for the forming of Adam's body, he shall be at the forefront collecting souls. I wanted to know, was that a punishment or was that, you know, good?
No, that was a manifestation of his nature, because Gabriel has been coming to earth repeatedly, and they refer to him as the angel of revelation. And Michael has been coming to the earth repeatedly because he is a defender of Tawheed. You follow what I'm saying? What happened is these angels were asked to do something that was not in their nature. Do you understand that?
But this was before, wasn't this before anybody was on the earth?
Yeah, not in their nature. This is what they were destined to be. Because their names tell you what they're destined to be.
I see.
You see? Azazillah name means someone who rebels against something. Because man fears death. Jibril means someone who presents, comes forth, and brings something. You see that? Michael means, Mikael, one who can declare himself like Allah. Not who can declare himself like Allah, but tell me, who do you know that is like Allah? So each one of those beings that was sent was assigned by Allah of what man would encounter after his creation. The angel of death, the angel of revelation, and the angel of defense.
I see. So that was all set up.
That's how he answered. I know what you know not.
Right.
Everything Allah does has a meaning. Nothing is just done like we do things, and then we figure out later what we did. I know everything Allah does, everything the Heavenly Father does has a meaning. We cannot wrestle against it. Sometimes mortals don't understand it because it's above us, but that's all part of his being divine.
And also, you say like before there was anything, Allah, there was a state of nothing, right?
No, I didn't say that. I said he created a state of nothingness. Now watch this. Say, for instance, you're a potter. You make pots, plates, glasses, a potter. Now, when you make this cup, you're making this cup to fill it with coffee or tea or whatever you drink.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
No.
And let's make it very clear we mean decaffeinated, because we don't want people to think I say go drink coffee and tea with the drugs, okay? No, but seriously. Let's say you make this cup with the intention to drink water in it.
No.
When you create it, you create an absence of space, a nothingness. The area where the water is to go when the cup is created, before you put the water in it, is creating what?
Space, empty space.
A state of nothingness.
Right, yeah.
And then once it is occupied or filled with water, it no longer becomes nothing. It becomes what? Something.
Water, yeah.
When Allah planned to create the creation, he created a state for which the creation could happen, where molecules could be drawn together and explosions can take place and cells can breed and germs can multiply. You understand that?
No.
That's what he did. First of all, they're both the same thing. It's just that when they break down an atom, it breaks down into molecules. Atom is a constructed amount of molecules moving at a specific speed, forming a certain amount of density. You follow that?
No.
So if you have a specific atom, let's say hydrogen or helium,
wow,
you have to have two hydrogens revolving around a nuclei, which forms helium. As
right,
you go up the scale of the elements, the amount of atoms and protons or neutrons revolving around electrons, moving around the center, will determine their density. When you break it down, it breaks down into molecules. When you construct it as a number of molecules functioning, it becomes an atom. Okay?
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum. How could Revelations chapter 10, verse 1 to 11, be talking about the Quran as a little book when it told Jesus not to copy down what the angel was saying because it was to be prophesied later? But he took the book by orders of the angel and ate it, and it was to prophesy it again.
Because who was Jesus' father?
Allah.
No.
I mean, the angel.
Angel who?
Gabriel.
And who brought the Prophet Muhammad the Quran on Laylatul Qadri?
Angel Gabriel.
See? So he did, Jesus being the son, the angel did have to digest the Quran before Muhammad even came, and then brought the Quran in the night of power, Laylatul Qadri, to Muhammad. So he had memorized it in its entirety, and then presented it to Muhammad in Laylatul Qadri as a whole book, but only revealed it in portions.
But if he, but it says that he ate it and it was sweet, it was sweet to the mouth and bitter to the belly.
Because the Quran speaks about Zilzala and Ariyat. The Quran has answers to the books of Revelation that are not very pretty. It speaks about the earthquakes of the world and the mountains crumbling and dust and mountains folding like butterflies. So when he read what was a very beautiful book, what he got out of it was some very terrifying information about the way the world ends. So it was sweet in the mouth, but it was bitter in the belly. You follow?
All right, thank you. Also, how do we have a Quran today if Uthman burned the original?
You don't have a Quran today because Uthman burned it. And that's one of my biggest arguments to Sunni Muslims. They refuse to accept the Ali Quran. We have in our possession the Quran from Ali, the family of the Prophet Muhammad. The Sunnis do not have original copy. They have a bunch of perverted translations and distorted manuscripts. And once they finally fought about it and got it collected, what they thought was true, they burned the original so nobody could check it. But they overlooked that Fatima and Ali and the family, or the Ahlul Bayt, had their Quran also.
What does Allah mean in Hebrew?
Arabic and Hebrew are both dialects of Syriac. The root of both of them is Al. In Hebrew, they say Alif, and the word is Lem. In Arabic, it's Alif, Lam. Al, the. Whenever you speak about Allah, you say the. And if a person says the what, you say the. The who, the. The when, the. Allah is Al. Then they add Illahu on it, that which created it, or that which is the essence of it. They use the word huwa from the root word ha or hawa'a, meaning a kind of love that is divine. Look it up in the dictionary. Or the word ha alif, meaning for me to present something to you. If I was going to give you something, I'd say ha, which is like here, take this. Not huna, like here, stand here, but ha. So when you put ha on el, you get the source of divine love that presented itself. And it presented himself by ruh to nefecha, by breathing of his own self into you, which gave all human beings the attributes of ishq, called divine love. When it permeates from Allah, it comes down as something that man does not understand, the kind of emotion and concern that man does not understand. When it settles in man, it's known as ishq. When man tries to apply it, it's known as wud. When man does apply it, it's known as hib. Those are dimensions of divine love incarnating as a part of the divine into you. Thus, your heart is painted over with the love of Allah. As mean as you try to be the white people, you really can't be. As tough as you want to be, if a white person falls in front of you, you'll help them up. They don't have that. You got to really become callous as a person not to help a white person, because black man, black woman, you have the spirit of the Most High moving into you. He breathed into you of his spirit and you became a living soul. So as tough as you try to be, you are as compassionate and merciful and forgiving and loving and kind as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is himself, because he moves through your very being. It's called soul. And the white people recognize it in you and say those are soul people. If you eat poison food, they call it soul food. And they have their soul this. And in Latino, they salsa this and salsa that. They know that that is the divine inside you moving, and they hate you for it.
Come home to the Tabernacle of the Most High and get all your questions answered. Or visit the Hall of Knowledge every Sunday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at 548 Hart Street, Brooklyn.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله والي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحتي والمجدد لنا المرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no partner. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
And now, The True Light, featuring Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi.
Surah 2, Ayat 214. Or do you think that you would enter the garden while yet the state of those who have passed away before you has not come upon you? That's the part I don't understand. Okay, in the Holy Quran, 214. First of all, we have to understand, whenever you're dealing with the Holy Quran and Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the second, it's usually talking about the children of Israel and their plight. All right? Holy Quran 2:14 is now talking to the Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers. Because what they are looking for is an easy way to heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them in that section that you will not go to heaven until what? Until befalls you the same thing that befell them which is before. Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about Bani Israel, talking about the sons and daughters of the house of Israel and all the things that they went through while they sojourned in captivity in Egypt and how they were persecuted. And when they tried to get from Egypt back to the promised land, all the things that they encountered, afflictions and suffering and disease and starvation. You follow what I'm saying? These are the things the children of Israel experienced. And if they endured, so that's what they kept saying, he endured to the end. He endured to the end, shall be said. If they endured, they made it. If they didn't, they fell to the wayside. It's telling Muslims the same thing. You think because you take your shahada, go to Mecca, and hang around a bunch of Pakistanis and wear perfume and put on a robe and prostrate that you're making it to paradise, you're wrong. You're going to suffer. You're going to go through trials and tribulations. You're going to have afflictions. You're going to have pain like the children of Israel went through. You're going to earn the right to Jannah. You follow that? This is what it's talking about in 2:14. Now read it again and see what it's saying. So do you think that you would enter the garden while yet the state of those who have passed away before you has not come upon you? Distress and affliction befell them, and
right.
They were shaken violently.
That's right.
So that the apostle and those who believed with him said.
Now that's the point. Stop there. That's the apostle. This apostle is Ar-Rasul Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ashabuhu, and his companions, the mu'minun, those faithful people with him, they ask. Now go back and read that line again for yourself.
The apostle and those who believe with him said.
So Muhammad and his followers was asking somebody this question. You see this? It wasn't just asking Muhammad this question. Muhammad and his followers was asking a specific question. Now let's see what this question is according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the question they asked?
When will the help of Allah come?
No. When will the help of Allah come? He says there. Matta Nasrullah. Matta Nasrullah. Hear that word, Nasrullah? Huh? It's the same word as Ansar. Nasr. Ansar. Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ashabahu and his companions asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When? Matta Nasrullah. When are they coming? You know what he said? Allah, inna Nasrullah qareeban. Surely, we want you to know that the Nasrullah is qareeban.
it is very soon coming. If you turn to the end of the Quran now, 110, you with me? The 110th surah. You ready?
Not yet.
Okay. The point is that every part of the scripture backs itself up. People look outside of the Quran for answers to the inside. They run to hadith, and of solid this, of solid that. And the Kalim Allah, the Quran of Kareem, is the seed. It is clear within itself. Ready now? The first verse is, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ. Notice the word, نَصْرُ اللَّهِ in Arabic again. The most translators say, when the help of Allah comes in the victory, and their poor translation. But it doesn't say that. إِذَا, when and if, جَاءَ, past tense, has come, نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Allah's aider, Ansar, Nasr, Ansar Allah, Nasr Allah. Wal Fataha. The word Fatiha means the opening. If it's translated as victory, it doesn't mean that. It means a victorious opening, and it's talking about the opening of that same seventh seal mentioned in Revelation. And the Quran supports it because it comes before it refers to Jesus' disciples as Nasr Allah. They asked him, who, Jesus said, who will be my Nasr min Allah? And they said, Inna Nasr, right? Surely we are Nasrullah. Surely we are Ansarullah. We are Allah's aiders, not yours. This is what his disciples told him in 61:14 of the Holy Quran. You follow me? So here this section is telling you something. There's an answer to that question that Rasulullah Muhammad asked and his followers asked Allah. When are these helpers coming? When are they going to be? Muslims say these are angels. Most translators say, no, brother, in this section, they're talking about angels, they're not talking about mortals. More angels don't come, first of all, they're sent. But besides that, as we go on, we're going to see how. And it says, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. If this is talking about angels coming, angels do not enter into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Angels don't convert to Islam. Watch now. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ. When the aid of Allah comes and the seal is open, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you see people يَدْخُلُونَ entering فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ into the deen of Allah أَفْوَاجًا in groups. This is the day we're in now, when you people are turning back to Islam, taking off that cloak of ignorance that Paul made for you called Christianity, and dropping that cloak on the floor and stepping back into deen Allah, the religion of Jesus, the religion of Moses, the religion of Abraham. In the Christian church, people prayed and sung, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, it's good enough for me. And now that the old-time religion comes, they want a modern religion. They join Christian scientists and Jehovah's Witnesses and a whole bunch of new religions. You asked for it, and it came. He answered your prayer. When will the help come? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions asked, when will it come? And Allah says, it's near, Muhammad. It is near. This is 1,400 years after. Right? There were 2,000 years between Jesus and Moses, 2,000 years between Abraham and Moses, 2,000. This is the shortest period yet, 1,400 years, and it's here already, the truth. And you're seeing people. Now, it says here, and you'll be seeing people, and mass people, yadakhuluna, entering into the deen of Allah. May I ask you a question? Do Arabs enter into the deen of Allah, or are they born? But their mothers and fathers were Muslims. Are they born into deen Allah?
I was speaking to an Arab, and he claims that they are born.
That's right. He's right. They're born into it. That's good. And when he thinks he's saying something insulting to you, he's really making a fool of himself. Watch now. He says they're born into the religion. In Saudi Arabia, they're born. Sharif al-Awsa, they're born. Throughout Sharif al-Awsa. In Sudan, in Turkey, in Africa, they're born. Here, y'all convert. You are redeemed. Reclaimed. Right? You repent, like the Quran says. You repent. They're born, they don't repent. So here it says, and you see people entering into the religion, not being born into it, but entering into the deen of law. Can't be talking about nobody but y'all. So there's nobody converting to deen of law, putting it in the black man's America. Think about where the honor will Muhammad or by Noble Du Ali. Whatever path they get, they go towards the truth. If the light is dim, it'll get brighter. You follow? But y'all people are entering into deen of law in groups. Nowhere else. It's not happening in Pakistan. It's not happening nowhere else. The word dakhala in Arabic means to enter into, to go into. Idkhul, come in. Idkhul, come into my house. You see this? Okay. The deen of law. It doesn't say deen of Islam. What the Quran is deen of Islam. Why doesn't it say deen of Islam? You know why? Because deen of Islam is distorted now by Pakistanians. By Persians, people writing hadith, Bukhari, Shafi. Here's a perfect example. The man that they quote, his name is Abu Huraira, right? And they quote this man as a hadith writer, Abu Huraira. You know what the word Huraira means in Arabic? A cat. Now the Arabic word was cat. He was called the father of the cat. So therefore they wrote stories in the so-called stories of the Sahaba to make it look like he was doing a justification, but the Quran tells you to take a good and meaningful name, no nickname in the Quran. So this man who wrote hadith had a nickname, Bukhari. Bukhari is a place in Russia. That was not his name. He was named after a place. But men have laid down Musa, Isa, Ibrahim, Idris, which is Moses, Jesus, and Idris. Stop following them and started following all these men who wrote hadith and traditions and customs. So deen al-Islam has been spoiled by men and must be reformed. So deen Allah came to Abraham. You see that? Deen Allah was with Jesus. Deen Allah was with Moses. Deen al-Islam was perfected by Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He perfected it, and then after him, and Muslims openly say a period called Ba'd. Then, Ayn Dal, meaning after. And in their conversation, they'll say, well, this is the law when Rasulullah was here. This was before, this is Jahili. This is ignorance before he came, after Jesus, but before him. And this is Ba'd. These laws came after Rasulullah left. There should not be no laws made after Rasulullah left. You follow that? Because the Quran says, this day have I perfected or completed for you your deen and called it in Islam. You follow that? So you can say that Muslims do not smoke cigarettes because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not smoke. You say, well, hadith says it's all right. Quran says that Allah created Muhammad khalaq al-azim as a perfected being, created supreme. Then the question is not whether or not you can smoke, but did Rasulullah Muhammad smoke, yes or no?
No.
And if Muhammad didn't smoke, then those who are his, your followers, they don't smoke. Did Muhammad wear plaid tagiyas? That means plaid prayer caps and blue robes? No. When Jibreel, the angel, Rasulullah alayhi, came to Rasulullah Muhammad, they describe him right there in their hadith as having on a white robe. Whiter than every one of the other Sahaba that was standing there, it says. You follow that? In their 49 selected hadith, it says his robe was whiter than everybody's, and that made them wonder because they had just crossed the desert who he was. So they asked him, who was he, and he told them. So now what color robe was the angel Gabriel wearing?
White.
And what color robe was the Prophet Muhammad's companions wearing?
White.
Why are Muslims wearing brown robes they get from Pakistan and plaid robes and blue robes and gray robes, all this stuff that these Pakistanians and modern Saudis are making up, when the hadith made it clear that they were wearing white and that they wore black to Ali in war? And that started when Ali's family was being persecuted spies of Abu Bakr and Aisha when the so-called Shia and Sunni were formed. And that's why you see this man call himself Ayatollah or Ayatollah wearing black. But they were the martyrs of Islam being persecuted because they stated Ali, alayhi salam, should have been the rightful successor to Muhammad and not Abu Bakr. And so therefore, Aisha started persecuting him and established what they called the Sunni sect of Muslims and called the other ones those things. And that's why the word Shia, because the word Ashia, some things. You follow? So it says those people in that latter day will be entering Deen Allah. Deen Allah in the Holy Quran, in the second surah, the 130th ayat, is Millah Ibrahim al-Hanifan. Deen Allah Afwajan. To enter into Allah's way of life in groups. Which is what y'all are doing today. The next verse is the step back to Hamdi. The word is to glorify, to be grateful, to be thankful. The step back. So glorify is Hamdi by way of praising him. Hamda, like Alhamdulillah. And a Muslim says in his prayer, five times a day, he begins his prayer with the Fatiha, saying Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, all gratitude and thanks is due to Allah. Okay? So you see it says there, فَسَبْتَحْتِ حَمْدِ رَبُّكَ or رَبِّكَ. The same. It says, glorify by praising your sustainer. Because in Surah Al-Fatiha again, it says, بِسْمِلَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبَّ رَبَّ the Lord or sustainer. رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ It is translated Lord, but it means رَبَّ someone who preserves or takes care of something. Here he says, فَسَبْتَحْتِ حَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ Ghafur, the name of Allah, El Ghafur, the forgiver. Now, I see some of maybe taking the Shahada at birth and therefore going into the religion. What sin have they committed? None. These people had been living in sin in order to have to ask Allah for forgiveness. You understand? They're talking about the Prophet Muhammad's followers. They were not living in sin. The Quran says they were living in ignorance. It's a difference. In this day and time, people are living in sin. They're married in the name of Jesus Christ and not in the name of the Heavenly Father. They drink to get drunk. The women go with their bodies uncovered. They go with their faces uncovered. All the laws that are in the Quran, they're being taught by people who are personating themselves as Muslims. The Quran tells you that people that will be impersonating themselves as Muslims. When they're with you, they say they are faithful or believers. When they leave you and get back to the temple, they're with them. Pakistan professes to be such a religious Islamic country and is making ties with America, who's an understood atheist country. Saudi Arabia is supposed to be an Islamic country. What does the Quran say? Do not make friends with Christians and the so-called Jews because they are friends of each other. Correct? So how is Saudi Arabia making deals with America? How is Pakistan making deals with America? How is Morocco making deals with America? How is Iran, Iraq, and all of these countries making deals with America? America is a Christian country. The Quran tells us not to do it. Because when they're with you, and they meet you in the street, you say you're Muslim, they say, oh, me too, I'm Muslim too. Then they leave you and they go back down to the school where they're studying economics and political strategy. They socialize with the white kids and they drink, smoke cigarettes, drink beer, and say, I'm really making fun. The fool is on them. I'm showing you this to show how these quotes couldn't be applied for nobody but you as a people. So it says, so glorify and by praising your sustainer and ask his forgiveness. Seek his forgiveness. For surely, innahu kana tawwabam. For surely, he was the one who accepted the repentance. This is what makes it so interesting. But he's putting this kana in past tense. Kana. Innahu kana tawwaban. This word tawwab means to repent. To who have been doing something wrong and then turned back. Now, why is it so important? Because the Quran al-Kareem, Kitab Allah, Nur al-Alameen, the light of the whole universe, tells people there's one thing other than suicide that there's no forgiveness for. And what is that? What does the Quran say?
Setting up someone with the law.
That's right. And almost, I say, for people who don't understand, almost everybody sitting in that room now was guilty of that. You were Christian. Correct?
Yes.
Almost. If he wasn't, then he wasn't. Almost everybody in that room at one time was a Christian. And in that period of time, you believed that Jesus was God incarnated. Or you followed Master W. Farad, and you believed that he was God incarnated. And if you believe that he was God or Jesus was God, then you had set up partners with Allah. Right? And they say there's no forgiveness for that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an exemption for y'all right here in the Quran. He said, once you get back into your deen, that doesn't mean partying it. Don't mean pick up the pamphlets and just read them. Back in. See, inside. Here it says, yadakununa, to enter inside, to go inside something. You understand? The children of Israel had a community they had to live in. They had to go again. Jesus' disciples had to leave their family and come follow him. And that Mark quote that Sister asked the brothers to read earlier was Jesus saying to leave your families and come with him. That's what he's told. That's what he's told to do. My mother and my brother, the those who believe as I believe. Jesus to teach him to set up a community and live in it. Says right in the Quran. ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. Right there telling you, when you see people entering in, leaving the world, leaving the streets and going into the community, what community? Go back to the first line. Ibadah Nasrullah, Ansarullah, Ibadah Nasrullah. Right there in the Quran in plain simple language. When you see people joining into the Ansarullah community in groups, start to glorify by praising your Lord and seeking his forgiveness. Because he was the one who forgave you before. He forgave the children of Israel when they was in Egypt and they had reduced themselves to worshiping all those idols. Right? He forgave them. And just like you started off with 2:2:14, you must go through the same thing that Beni Israel went through. And now he says, you have a right to repentance if you drop your net and become fishes of men. If you yadakununa, the deen of magic, you enter inside the deen. Don't let your wife keep you in the world. Don't let your husband keep you in the world. There's a new world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbil Alameen, the state of all the boundless universe. But he has set up a community each time. He has set a wana or a prophet or a messenger, but he sets up a community. And those people prove their loyalty by dropping the world in and going into that community and living four of them by each other. That's what Israel was doing when they set up the 12 fountains of water. They were living in the Ark of the Tabernacle, setting up their law, not outside. Right there tells you to do that in the Quran. If you don't want to do it, all I can do is warn. That's my job. I'm a warner. And Allah tells you to enter into your deen. Go into your deen. Not outside there reading the book, you're getting heavy and going from party to party, pretend you're coming. I'm coming. Do my wife get together. Do my kids get together. Yadakulun afidin allahi afwaja. And when Allah puts forth the truth, you can believe it is the truth. Okay?
I have another question where a brother was telling me that he gave me an example. He said that if somebody put a gun to your head and they asked you, blaspheme Allah's name. He asked me, what would I do? I said, I'd let him pull the trigger because I wouldn't blaspheme Allah's name. But he said, no, that's wrong. He said, you should do what he said to save your life.
And you should have said, wonderful. Every man is entitled to his own opinion. Because it's not a scriptural debate. is just two moral talking. It was something that you can defend by the scripture. And he says that's a scriptural doctrine, say, show me. He said that, okay, because you know, you shouldn't commit suicide. He was trying to say that you shouldn't commit suicide. But I think he said, because you're not telling the children. Well, that's his, that's an interpretation, a moral interpretation of suicide. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're committing suicide living in New York, raising all this poison, and that thing, you want to get technical, we're all living, we're committing suicide every day. You know, but that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant when he meant suicide, when he said suicide. He meant when a person maliciously sits down to take their own life. He said, this body was rented to you to educate that soul, and you don't have the right to stop that. You follow? Now, if somebody pulls a gun out on you, and you got the courage as an individual to say, shoot me, that's you. There's other people who run. With the Quran in their hand, run. That's all part of the individual. It's not something that you should get caught up religiously debating about. You follow? Unless he can show you in the Quran the likeness or similitude or the Torah, the similitude to that incident, and make that the criteria, because this is Kalam Allah. Don't worry about men's words, worry about Allah's words. Say, show me in the scriptures where this story or something like this has happened so I can see. If not, you're wasting your time arguing with him. You can be arguing about, you know, the proper way to prostrate and salah. You follow me? It's a waste of time to argue about things like that. Thank you.
Was the devil conceived by artificial insemination or natural?
The pale devil? He, as we read from Genesis 9:25, where he received the curse of the first curse over on his son Cain from Ham's house, all the way down to Leviticus 13, and then of course Leviticus 14:33 and 1, 2, and 3, where they speak about the curse being placed there. But 13 tells us how he got his complexion, how he got his skin texture, hair color, and eye color. He is a result of the disease called Abras. Abras is another word for leprosy. He is a leper. Throughout the scripture, he was called the Canaanite, or the Amorite, or the Hittite, or the Archite, or the Hevite, or the Anakite. He had many different names in his tribe that spread throughout the world, spreading the disease. Their diseases have resulted in sickness and gonorrhea and rheumatism and arthritis and glaucoma and all the different blood and skin diseases that come from being a leper. And we have now got that by way of integrating and marrying and having intercourse with these demons. That is a physical devil, which if you want to get its origin as a physical devil, you have to go back to the beginning of Genesis chapter 3. When man and woman is bitten, the curse of Allah put on them, and it tells you about the iniquity being between the woman's seed, which is Genesis 3:15, when he's speaking about how the devil had deceived the woman of Ibaza, and it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, speaking to thee, meaning the fallen angel himself, Azazel and Lucifer, between thee and the woman, because only women there was Mother Hawa or Eve, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, meaning the serpent's seed, and her seed. You see that? The word seed is Nun Sin Lam, Masala. Nun Sin Masala. And it's also the same thing in Hebrew, Masala. And in Aramaic, Masala. The same word, Masala, meant to be an offspring, to give birth to a child, to have a progeny, etc. So in the Bible, right in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Almighty Creator of the heaven and the earth is telling the devil and the woman that there's going to be hate and jealousy between their descendants. But nowhere in Christian teaching or Jewish teaching do they confess to the fact that the devil would have descendants. They keep acting as if the devil is one red being with a pitchfork. And like there in the Bible, it tells you that the iniquity shall be between thy seed, meaning the devil, and her seed, meaning Eve. You follow? So he has been cursed since the foundation of the world. And the Holy Quran confirms it in the 20th chapter, the 102nd verse, when it says, on the day that the trumpets alone, we will assemble all of those guilty or accused, pre-accused, blue-eyed devil. The devil has already been judged. Please don't ask me, is it possible for white people to repent? The scripture teaches us that since the Garden of Eden, the devil and his seed has already been cursed. And that through the Savior that will come to man, man will be able to re-enter paradise and receive everlasting life. But that the devil himself and his host of angels and followers will be cast into fire and brimstone forever. So please, people, stop asking me, is there hope for white Muslims? Is there hope for good white people? Because the scriptures tell us that they have been cursed since the foundation of the world. And it tells you also that they're going to be able to deceive you. And so they're going to be so sure that if it's possible, they'll trick even the elite, if it's possible. But they're going to make you think they're righteous, make you think they're human, make you think they care. They don't cure, they preserve. You understand the difference between curing and preserving? They don't cure people, they preserve. They cut out and replace parts. There's a big difference in what they did and what the prophets and the Messiah did. And they call medical in the name of God. And yet they have a serpent on a sword as their symbol, which is a symbol of the cherubim that blocks the gate to keep man from getting back into spiritual heaven. The medical symbol is a symbol of Satan. A sword with a snake wrapped around it, which is symbolic of the sword that was put on the gate at the garden to keep Adam and Eve from getting back in the spiritual garden, that they might, yes, what the Bible said they might do if they get in there. Put forth their hand and take of the tree of life and live forever, right? You know, the Bible teaches the medical symbol is not trying to make people live forever. It's trying to play the Creator. God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open and you shall be as God. This is why they have artificial assimilation. This is why they have cloning. This is why they're doing all this stuff with trying to prolong life, heart transplants. But the one thing that the Almighty Creator of the heavens and earth can do that man can't do is create. Man can procreate. Man can assimilate. Man can miss. But he cannot bring about something new. Anybody in that room think of something that has never been thought of or seen before? It's impossible. Think of a color that has never been seen? You can't. Man does not have the power in him to create. Only the Almighty can create. Man can make, procreate, meaning having children, he can do, but he cannot create. And the devil cannot give you that power. Okay? He can transport, he can't create.
Where should we, or where should the lost souls follow Jesus do? What did Jesus mean? What?
All right. If you would open your Bible to St. John, chapter 1, you'll find out that Jesus did not finish his mission. He told them, there's many things I have to say unto you. However, you cannot bear them yet. But when he, the Comforter, comes, right? He shall lead you into all truth. Now, what did Jesus mean by that?
That he would show you.
Chapter 16, he says. He says, well, go back to 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, which of course they did not do. Right? Because they did not follow what Jesus said to do his disciples. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even, see, people keep saying that comforter is the Holy Spirit. Right? And the Bible says, even the Holy, see that? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Even the angel Gabriel, who's the Spirit. But the angel Gabriel was not seen. Muhammad was seen. The angel Gabriel came to Muhammad in the cave who was the comforter and gave him the Holy Ghost and the Quran. You see that? Now, if you go back to the same chapter of John 5:3, in these lay a great multitude of important folk, of blind halt. He's talking about his own Jewish people. They were blind. They were lost. They did not follow. All
right?
Then he goes on to give you the Lord's Prayer and how they should have prayed, our Father who art in heaven. These people did not believe the teachings of Jesus. So they would not inherit everlasting life. Because they did not accept the comforter who came, whose name was Muhammad, who Jesus sent. See, the angel, it said in 15, was sent from the Father. But Jesus sent Muhammad, because each prophet heralds another prophet.
Okay, that's it.
Hey, ma'am. In your pamphlet, by the title, I think it is, Why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Should Not Be Called God, you were speaking of the name Jehovah, and you said something about the Hebrew word being Yahweh, but you never said what the word Jehovah means, being a Latin word. What does it actually mean in Latin?
You cannot take a word out of Hebrew, bring it into Latin phonetically, and then create a definition. You follow? Because the word is in Arabic, Yahuwah, oh he. You see that? And we say kul huwa, we're saying oh he, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All they did is took the ya because there was there's no J in the ancient Hebrew letter. Right? And they put it in the front and changed it from Yahuwah to Jahuwah. So there is no meaning to it. Because it was grafted from another language. It's just a mistranslation.
Okay.
There is no word Jehovah. They did that purposely so that people would not worship the Creator by his proper name.
Okay, you said the Lord is our Creator, right? Who created him? Where did he come from? I mean, like, where is he from?
Now, this is the most interesting thing about that question. Ready? Ask it again. Who created him?
Yeah.
Now, when you get that question started, we got to go back to who the who was. Correct? So now we move from him to who. You see that? No, you miss what I mean. You said, okay, we're talking about God. He created us. Who created him? You see the statement? He has fixed that question that anybody who asks it will be glorifying him at the point of the question. Who is the ancient Arabic word for he who is? So when you're in English phonetics ask who created him, you're still saying he who is. And when you get to the point of questioning, who brought about God? Whoever brought about God would be God, correct? He would be greater than God to create God. And you keep on going on to this question infinitely. Well, then who created him? And then who created him? And who created him? And who created him? And who created him? The trick of it is our concept of creation is the manifestation of something in some form, right? Something that we can either see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. That is creating something. You see? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. The source of the universe created nothingness to place something in. You understand?
Yeah. I know it says without mother, without father. I know I read that, but I'm saying what is he? Some force that like pulls himself together or what? You know, it's not.
That's what I was trying to explain.
But you got to really, you got to take the time to understand this. Our understanding of creation is things that we either see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. You understand that? Now, the Almighty had to bring about a state of in order to become. And that's as far as the English will take it. He has to create, I'm not going to stop, but I mean as far as that wording. He had to create a state of in order to become. Tangible enough for us to calculate his presence. You understand that? So therewith, the essence of his real being does not fall in the realm of what man understanding as existence. He had to create a state by which man could identify with him and therewith pick up attributes as like a being. And see, that's beyond, you got years yet before we get to that understanding. I can only tell you about it. One day you may, some people in there understand what I'm saying. He had to create a state of before he can become a, before he can bring it into existence. You understand? Because human beings identify things by what they either see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. But the ultimate of the human being is the reactionary nerve system to things they see, hear, taste, smell, and feel, which they don't see the nutrition in an orange. They don't see it, but they eat the orange, the essence of the orange. So when the orange was manifest, we learned that in it was an essence that would nourish the body. The Almighty did the same thing with his existence. He made an existence necessary for us to filter from it the nutrition of spiritual upliftment or Holy Spirit. So it's not no time in creation anywhere where he was created. Because to be created means that you have a creator. And if he has a creator, then that is the creator. And if someone created that, then that is the creator. Now, to make it easy, he is the all. Can you take away from the all? No, because you can't put it nowhere. Can you add to the all? No, because you wouldn't get it from anywhere in order for him to be the all. So to try to be a part of a circle on the inside and understand the outside of the perimeter is impossible while you're in this state. You understand what I'm saying? If you're inside a room, you can't see the bricks outside. If you're outside, you can't see the bricks inside. And if it's transparent, then there are no bricks. So to comprehend the existence of the Almighty, you have to get outside this house that you call the body. And then you'll be outside looking in. But you will never be able to comprehend the presence of the Most High while inside the body. You merely can bite into his orange and get nourishment from his Holy Spirit. You understand? It's not a simple, you act a biggie. That's what they call a biggie. That is a complicated question with a very simple answer. You cannot think past what you can think. Okay? You have a watch? Does it tick or is it battery operated now?
Battery operated.
Okay, there was a time when a watch was acute to us of the existence of two worlds side by side. So the devil took the tick out of it. Your watch ticked. And the tick was calculating time. And each tick was a moment, correct? It went tick, 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 tick. What he did not give you is what was happening to that space between those ticks. He only told you about the ticks. And he calculated seconds and minutes and hours and months and days and years and months from the tick. He never mentioned what happened to the tick. If the space between the ticks, that is a coexisting etheric world right next to this one. He has combined the two now, and time is zooming past us. Now that he's taking a tick out is why you say, time is going by so fast. It was just Friday the other day. Now it's Friday again. Time is zooming because there's no longer a clock in existence. The devil has taken the clock out, so we would lose the ability to calculate time. But the tick is the physical world, and the space between it is the etheric world, or the world where the angels dwell. He does not want you to be conscious of that, so he keeps you in tune with the tick, not the space. You will never be able to understand the space while you're living by the tick. I'm trying every kind of different way I can to make you see this. But it's basically beyond simple human comprehension. It takes a lot of spiritual knowledge to understand that you cannot see the outside of a circle while you're inside it. So you cannot see the perimeter of the universe while you're standing in the center. I see that. Okay?
Okay, I have a question. My parents are both Puerto Rican, and I am too, but I've always considered myself black. But yet, they don't appreciate me hanging with blacks or any in that form of way. But she's never said it verbally, but she's always said it in her actions, as though actions speak louder than words. But I've wondered why, because my sister made mistakes in the past with black guys, but she's always considered me like, you know, I don't want you going that way. So, you know, don't step in.
Well, see, the mistake could be made with black guys, Chinese guys. Mistakes are made, you know, with anybody. A lot of our parents, right? Even some of those people sitting in there that you would call black, their parents don't want them to be black. You follow what I'm saying? They tell them to get brought, they straighten their hair, braid their hair. When there was a little girl, they were straightening their hair and doing everything they can, trying to make them not what they are. Because it looks as if you're on the bottom of the totem pole when you're black. You have nothing. You'll never be nothing. You follow? So most parents, when they, remember this, your parents don't mean any harm. Remember this. They think they're doing what's best for you. They think they're putting you in a successful part of this society because it's apparent that white people have made more success in this country because the laws of it are so treacherous. So he's much more successful in his economic growth than blacks are. So she thinks she's doing the best thing for you. Don't dislike her for it. Just try to reach her. You know what I'm saying? Try to touch her heart and let her see that love is not based on that. She thinks that if you can marry a white guy, that you'll do better. And she don't mean no harm. She loves you more than you think she does by that very gesture. Even though it's a bad gesture as far as you're concerned, she thinks it's the right thing for you. So she doesn't mean any harm. Try to work with her. Take time. Just tell her you'll understand one day. Or get stranded down south and she'll understand immediately. They got crackers down there that don't care about us at all. That's all part of the new growing stage we're going through now. When the people from our Latin descent start realizing that they are the original seed also. That's going to take a little time. But it's happening fast. And when we get united, there'll be no stopping us. We definitely will no longer be the minority, that's for sure. And we control the workforce. You know what I'm saying? If y'all wanted a black program on Channel 11 or a Latino program in Spanish on Channel 11, all we all got to do is get together and tell Channel 11 that we are not going to watch that channel anymore until they put that on. And when their ratings start to drop, they'll put on anything you want. You realize that? That's how the society works? So that's why they spend a lot of time trying to keep us divided so we don't get any unified thoughts that gives us power in voting or in anything else. That's why they do it. If we ever get together, our population is so... Imagine how they split Harlem up, Spanish Harlem, the Bronx, in this Latin. Imagine if all that was one. If they all had...